Ring, Ligma Balls.
Let's go, baby. I'm excited. I got another list, even though I had one last week. I made another one. Oh, you know, baby.
You know what I find? If I don't keep looking at the OBS, I don't think we get the blinking as much. It's when I actually open it up to check on it that the problems start arising. So I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out. I just can't seem to yet, but I have less of a problem the less I go to it. So
tech, a whole lot of gibberish.
Technology, baby. Technology.
Ayo, I'm tired.
I was streaming.
Technology.
You're on the hot mic.
I've been recording this, you know, the last minute or so. So.
Oh well, good for you.
Ayo, I'm tired of streaming technology. What you got, my baby? Technology.
Okay, terrific.
That's a Timberlake jam.
Justin Timberlake?
Oh yeah. Timber Timberlake.
All right,
he's a big deal.
We're back. It's another episode of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, episode 501.
Oh yeah.
I think we are we might still have episode 500 hangover, who knows, but there is so much to talk about. We had picks this week. There was a pay-per-view. Impact was on twice this week. The UWN had a banger. AEW Dynamite. The New Japan G1 Climax is fucking up and running. Kevin Slated on Twitter. Tony Slated at DDP Yoga. I don't even know. I don't know if I slayed anything this week. But you know what? I slayed the Clays. I shot really well yesterday. So I'm happy about that. And we could talk about all of that and more next on the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, episode 501.
Do it.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is PWS Hall of Famer, the Thunderheart, Jay George, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up? Fuckers!
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
Go there!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Shining Wizards, number 501, like your buttonfly jeans where it's wrestling talk.
Could you have gone with a more outdated reference for 501?
Levi's 501 jeans.
I loved it.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's
big I mean you got it. You got the reference.
Sure he did. He's just being a dick. Tony!
Oh, here we go. I didn't even say talk about wrestling.
Well, you're fucking worried about 501 jeans. Button flies, by the way.
I'm not worried about jeans. I'm in my sweatpants. What are you kidding me?
Attaboy. Button fly Jimmy Snuka over there.
No, it's
I didn't
more like
feel my jeans, brother.
It's more like sweatpants Jimmy Snuka over here, brother.
So Matt, you joined the Dark Order, huh?
I did. I joined the Dark Order.
So what number are you now?
I'm like 42.
Double zero.
The house wins on double zero.
Oh, shit. Cat alert.
Depends on what game you play.
That's true. Matt.
Oh, yeah. Kevin. Hey, what's up? Nice to meet you.
How is everyone this fine Monday evening?
I'm fucking miserable. Can I tell you that? I'm fucking miserable.
All right. No, you know what? No, you can't. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because everyone talks about having a case of the Mondays, about being this awful, dreadful thing. We're turning it around on Monday nights here at the Wizards Podcast, where if you have a case of the Mondays, it's a great thing. Like DDP, your guys' mentors say, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So keep your negativity in the mean streets of North Arlington, because here in KG Studio Basement, we are rocking and rolling with all things Power of Positivity, baby.
Awesome.
Wow.
Can I tell you then? I changed my tune. I got other stuff I could tell you.
I had a really shitty weekend, guys.
Really? Do
that
tell.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Oh.
Go ahead. Don't.
You're such a dick. I'm waiting. He's like, you know, my weekend was shit.
Go get him, T-Doc. What do you got for us?
My fucking right arm is killing me. I think I fucking worked too much this weekend and not fucking pulling the putt. I think it was from fucking work-related shit. And I've got a cramp like from my fucking wrist all the way up to my elbow. Actually, it's going up into the tricep, and I'm not doing this to flex. I'm just fucking showing you how fucking miserable I am. Not to mention, went to go visit my grandmother yesterday, and I wanted to treat her to something different instead of like making her cook for us when we come over. She's like, oh, I got a gift card for Outback. And I'm like, you know what? She used to go all the time. My grandfather said, maybe, you know, it's been a while. We'll go there. I've had the shits from the Bloomin' Onion for fucking 36 hours now. I've been fucking miserable. I think I passed a kidney and part of my fucking pancreas. I've been shitting so much.
All right. So what are the foods that we can incorporate under the umbrella that really make you feel terrible, yet you continue to eat?
No. Listen, I haven't had Outback in probably 5 or 6 years. Like, literally. Right. I think the last time I went was when my grandfather was alive. Like,
all right, forget about what's on the regular schedule. But there's a lot. Like, I feel like at least once a month we start off the podcast with you having terrible, terrible movements.
No, I've been good lately. That fucking Bloomin' Onion, dude, it fucking blew my asshole open.
A lot of people consider the Bloomin' Onion to be a national treasure.
Oh, it's fucking delicious. There's no doubt that it's delicious, but fucking with company comes misery or some shit like that. I don't know.
I mean, you're almost there.
Something like that.
It with misery, misery enjoys company.
But it was,
is the phrase. All right, so gyros you can't do, really, right?
No, I could have a gyro. I love a gyro.
What's the food that what's the nationality of food that you eat a lot but always kills you?
A lot that kills me?
I know it's off the tip of my tongue. Matt, do you like he has it all the time. Like when he was working in the city.
When he has the halal?
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, I haven't had halal in like a year and a half, dude, because I haven't been going to the city.
Don't have a dance party. This is the Outback theme song, bitches.
What?
Oh, yeah. If you're live on the hot mic, you could have seen our sweet moves right there.
Wait. The theme song I always remember was Steakhouse from a Land Down Under. You don't remember that?
I think you're just making that up.
What the fuck song are you playing?
This is the Outback song, full with lyrics.
That I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Think about this, playing while you're fucking stuffing your dumb face with a blooming onion.
Dude, Alex, right.
What did you have at the... I completely tuned out of your shit story. What did you eat that gave you the shits?
Fucking blooming onion, dude.
I mean, what do you expect? It's a fucking fried onion.
It's a great fried onion.
No, it's delicious. Absolutely delicious.
There's no discount. I'm not saying it's not delicious. I'm just saying, what did you expect?
Not with that attitude. There's not.
You just got it. Look, embrace it, bro. Yesterday, I went out for breakfast with the wife. They had a delicious bagel with Asiago cheese and jalapenos on top. And I got my bacon, egg, and cheese on that. And my wife instantly said, you're going to shit your pants before we go to dinner tonight, aren't you? Guess who didn't shit their pants last night?
Your cat.
No,
fucking
this guy right here. I didn't shit my pants, but I know what I'm signing up for. A little something with a little spiciness to it. I know what's going to happen.
You know, you got to put a little pep in your step because you're already thinking about dinner when you're having breakfast.
And you know what it is? I think everything just makes me shit, okay? I'd love to be like, you know, this makes me shit. I think that's just the man I am now. The man I have become. Everything makes me fart and shit. So,
yeah.
I'd love to have some excuse like, oh, the spicy food really tears me up.
Then you have a piece of chocolate cake and you're pooping.
Yeah, it's everything. We went out to a nice dinner last night. I had a fucking, the most amazing short rib I've ever had. It was so fucking tender and it
just fell apart.
It was like this big.
Ah, look at that. That is a short rib.
It's a beautiful piece of meat. Oh, it was unbelievable. That's so fucking good.
Was that your nickname in high school?
Meat, yes.
Meat. I was going to say, I was thinking short rib.
Oh, no. Sean Stasiak. He stole that
shit. I was thinking unbelievable meat.
Unbemeatable.
Isn't that what he said? Unbelievable meat?
It was unbelievable meat.
It is now time for Kevin's top five things Sean Stasiak has ever said in his life. And they're all
$200. See, I can be funny.
That's it. I can't continue. That was good.
Thought about it.
Yeah, right, Tony. I did think about it, but I decided to leave it off. If this was a top six,
Tony, that was number six.
That was number six. T-Donk. God, see, he's a doctor. You're a doctor. It's all good stuff.
Ah, oh, boy.
I got a video message, but I don't want to ruin. I'm already winded. I don't want to ruin the flow of the show, so I'll wait till later to play said video message.
Another one from Teddy Long?
No, it was not from Teddy Long at the gym, playa.
How great was that last week? Can we talk like 2 minutes about last week's episode, how awesome it was?
Absolutely.
Fucking, who would have thought putting Mike Freeland, Jay George, and Louis Ramos together would have been a fucking knockout of a fucking way to end that show? That was awesome.
I feel like Jay George has been on the show more times than like the three of us.
Yeah, Jay George, definitely Jay George and Louis are up there for like most like repeat appearances on the show. There's quite a few guys that are up in that range.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. I did feel bad that poor Mike Freeland had to get up out of his comfy chair to go pledge his allegiance to the Shining Wizards. And by the way, get well, Mikey Whipwreck. He's still fucking kind of miseries because of his back, but
well, you know. That's what Mike should not have fallen for Jay George's shenanigans. Okay.
Well, he doesn't really know Jay George. Like, we know Jay George.
Right.
You know
what we tried to talk the poor guy out of getting out of his. I wouldn't have got out of my fucking chair for Jay George and his terrible hack father jokes. What are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here. And fucking Louis, put down the fucking. Don't be giving me. Don't be telling me you don't drink fucking Four Loko during the week, all right? I'm not.
Yeah, what
I wasn't
the fuck?
Fucking
was he trying
yesterday.
To get a fast one past us?
Nah, that's why you couldn't figure out the Zoom. Zoom is not hard. You put in the meeting and then the code, and boom, the picture pops up.
Oh, my God. He's, like, looking at his phone going, how many fucking fives are on this keypad?
He left, like, there's a voicemail on Skype.
Five Locos!
Hey, honey, how come these say 444 Loko?
Last week was awesome. Awesome. Ace Austin was an awesome guest, and he probably would have been better if we didn't have to fucking wrap up the interview with him. I'll never, ever deal with a publicist again for an interview because that was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame. Hey, for those of you listening out there who wanting to get on the Shining Wizards, get in touch with us directly. Don't tell us to get in touch with so-and-so or who's a fats, because it's not going to happen. We're just not going to waste our time.
No, it's not worth the effort. Chris Gethard was awesome. The audio, I know it was choppy, so not choppy, like no socks.
I was gonna
choppy.
Say, what was it, fucking climbing the walls barefoot?
No, but he was calling from like a fucking... the duck out in fucking Connecticut in the middle of the woods. So I appreciate the effort.
Pretty nice looking hotel from the looks of it.
Yeah, but hotel Wi-Fi is the worst.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It's the worst. And you're always taking matters in your own hands when you use a public Wi-Fi at a hotel.
Yeah, like I know we say it a lot, like cliche, but, you know, with somebody like Chris on the show, we barely scratched the surface, dude. There was a million other things that we could have chatted up with him about.
Oh, absolutely. Just in our personal lives alone.
Yeah, but even on top of that, like, we didn't even get a chance to talk about, like, his current shit, like the fucking Action Park documentary. We didn't get into anything about.
Oh, wow.
You know, there was just so much that we just couldn't get to. But what we got to was fucking good stuff.
Is it me or does last week's episode feel like it was like a year ago already?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. A lot of shit has happened in this past week.
It seems like it was so long ago. I can't believe it's only been 7 days since we've actually done the podcast. And I don't think I've felt that way in a long time.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's because we're just so hyped and amped, but like all like the plugs and the publicity and the tweets and the retweets that we got from it was ongoing all week. Yeah. So it shouldn't feel that way, but it still does.
And we all came correct. I know Matt put a lot into the show, getting people involved with the retweetings and the whatnot. But, you know, overall for the three of us, it was something that we've been talking about, you know, like hardcore since the end of 499, you know, that whole last week. Probably felt like a month because of all the shit we put into it.
And I think we got it right with the guests that we had.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Ace and Chris, who were the only ones, because we didn't know who was going to be stopping by. But the ones that we promoted and the ones that we were able to get, I think pretty much describe like who we are as a podcast, and especially with Chris Gethard. But Ace Austin is a guy, he's like when he's a young kid, like really young, 23, I think. And now he's already on the stage, but our whole platform, one of the things that we love to do is take these young talent and give them a place to speak. And then when you see a year or two later where they are, it's absolutely remarkable. And
100%,
I'm not saying, and trust me, we're not the reason why, but the fact that we got it on the ground floor for some of these guys is what I think makes us unique and great.
Yeah, 100% right. I mean, Ace Austin's the young guy, the up-and-coming guy. Chris Gethard's like the friend of the show who we've had like past experiences with, like in wrestling and other things. And then, you know, a new guy at the end and a couple of old stalwarts that we've had on forever. You know what I'm saying? It was a perfect, like you couldn't have described it any better. I'm kind of sad that I'm trying to.
And you know what? You know what, Kevin? I'm going to disagree with you because it is because of us, okay? Ace Austin, you know what? That's won the AAW Tag Team Championships this week. You know who's advanced to the finals of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong?
Wait, what'd you say?
The AAW.
Oh.
Madman Fulton.
That's right. They made the news all over the place.
The Lion's Crown, you know who's in the finals? Danny Limelight. You know where he gets the rub from? The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Eric Young. We've talked about it at nauseam the last couple weeks. Eric Young's now the Impact Champion. You know what happened? He went on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And the big wigs, the muckety mucks, the past guests like Scott D'Amore, who know that we have our ear to the ground of the world of wrestling, said, you know what? We should give this Eric Young kid a shot. And now look at him.
Dude. Thunder Rosa's been on AEW how many times since we had her on? The Von Erichs. The Von Erichs have been doing hundreds of podcasts. Who were the first ones that they came on with? Us.
Yeah.
Can I just say how badass their picture was? Might be the greatest shirt pick of all time.
Oh, they're fantastic. I love those boys. And I'm telling you, and I've been telling my wife, we go back to Hawaii, we're hooking it up and we're looking it up, and I'm taking those boys out for a loco moco and a glass of milk.
Get the blooming onion.
We will not, because I've had a blooming asshole for the past 36 hours and no bueno.
I like how you have adapted your new nickname, Tony.
What, Old Man Tony?
Yes.
I am the elder statesman of the show. I mean, there's no
hiding. Yeah, by fucking years, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you're like the Chris Gethard to our Ace Austin.
I do look kind of good for a man of my advanced age. I can't speak as well as I used to.
Well, you did until about 4 seconds ago when you realize you can't speak. But Tony, did you do something new with the background?
What, me? Yeah, you like it?
Oh, it looks great. Jerry Lynn up there. Oh, beautiful.
What you're gonna ask me a question there, big Tony Z, whatever your fucking nickname is this week. Change your nickname like change your fucking underwear.
You fucking
all right, relax, big Puma.
Yeah, fucking big Puma.
About time somebody recognized
somebody
the
else come up with a nickname for you instead of fucking just making one up on
I
your
didn't
own.
Make that one up. It was given and to I, me.
No, kind of did. Go just back. Like calling you Coco.
Like the Birdman?
No, the gorilla.
From Seinfeld.
Why?
From Seinfeld, because remember George wanted to be fucking Ice-T or Big
No, T-Bone.
T-Bone, that was it.
Why no T-Bone?
How come I'm not T-Bone? Hey, you look like Coco the gorilla.
Yeah, look at George. He's really giving it to T-Bone.
I don't watch Seinfeld because I don't think he's funny.
Oh, you're missing out.
Why is Kramer coming over?
He's the fucking worst. He was like a surprise comedy guest at a Lewis Black show, and me and Brian Cobb walked to the bar to get drinks because I didn't want to see him. And Lewis Black was there, and I'm like, why is this fucking hack on the stage? And Lewis Black did like a double take. And he was like, "Real?" I'm like, I just don't think he's fucking funny.
And then you were like, hey guys, The Wonder Years is coming out on DVD soon.
That's right. My man, Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff is going to be in New Jersey this weekend, just so you know, at Rip and Run Collectibles in Butler, signing autographs from 12 to 2 o'clock.
Great. Maybe we can get him on the line so Kevin can fucking hit him with that story again.
They'd be like, all right, guys, I got to go. Demolition at Pandora's Box in October. A lot of wrestlers coming out to to New Jersey to do autograph signings.
Jersey's a hotbed, baby.
But you, hot is the right word. Aren't we still under quarantine here? Aren't people supposed to like be fucking waiting for 2 weeks to enter or exit our state?
Nobody
like, what's
gives
going
a
on?
Shit anymore, Tony.
You're right. Nobody does give a shit.
We'll be back in Studio A in a couple weeks. Don't worry.
We don't have to get political, but if the leader of the country doesn't give up, why should we give up?
Well, it's, listen, in fairness, it's not just him. There's a lot of people at the top that have fucking blown the whole fucking thing to the wayside. But let's not talk about politics. Can we do some wrestling talk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about pages and notes? And I want to start getting to them.
How about you blow me in the wayside, buddy?
Take down your pants. I'll do it. I'll give you the old fucking tele blowy over here.
Where do you guys want to start? Because it was a full week of pro wrestling. I know Tony did UWN. I know Kevin did both Impact shows and NXT. I know we did picks. I'm updated on the G1. I watched AEW last week.
Matthew.
Give it to me, K-Garf. K-Dog, whatever fuck your nickname is today, too.
K-Garf. Yeah, that's a good point. First of all, I've never called myself K-Dog. My original Twitter was K-Garf Comedy. I wanted to make that stick. That didn't happen. I don't know. I mean, there's no reason to talk about Impact if we're talking about Victory Road. So that was the final stop. Not the final stop. We still got three more weeks of Impact. But Victory Road happened. I don't know. I say we just go with picks coming hot, baby.
Ooh, you want to go picks?
Let's talk picks.
Hold on. It's been a couple of weeks, but I think we need to bring this back.
It's time for the Shining Wizards God Awful with this fucking thing end already pay-per-view pick extravaganza thing. Blah! NXT TakeOver 405 version.
31,
T-Donk. Yeah, it doesn't matter, Kevin.
TakeOver 31 was absolutely bananas. Absolutely, probably, dare I say, and I'm an Impact guy, I'm no longer corporate Kevin over here at the WWE Universe. Dare I say, show of the year.
Wow. That's coming in hot, Kev.
Big hot take from KJG. That's my other nickname, by the way. So.
Are those just your initials, though?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. Fair point.
They're just my initials. There was five matches on NXT TakeOver 31.
Zoptic card.
Coming from where did it come from? The
Capital Wrestling Center? Wrestling Center.
AKA the Performance Center.
Yes, it will now be the Capital Wrestling Center. Sorry, I like that to be too loud. It's the
playing music?
I am. That's the theme song for NXT TakeOver 31. Culture Head.
Oh yeah.
But yes, it came from the Capitol Center, the Capitol Wrestling Center, excuse me. It was unveiled yesterday as a homage to where Vincent McMahon started his business with Capitol Wrestling. So I did not see it because yesterday was my anniversary, so I was doing non-wrestling stuff.
You know what? I'm sorry I didn't do a shout-out to you for that, but a lot of the memories posted on my on my Facebook. And man, your wedding was a great time, by the way.
Thank you. I don't really know if that's something you... Like, I got a couple texts and shout-outs in the Discord, and I appreciated it, but I don't think that's a thing you... Do you tell other people happy anniversary?
You know what it is? It's something that if you make it a post, and then you can comment on it, happy anniversary.
Right.
Like, it's not something you text, I don't think. Unless it's like, you know, a close family member, I think.
Listen... Your picture with you wearing your championship belt came up on my timeline, and I had to post it in the Discord. I just had to.
That's fine.
That was the best. That was like I wanted to take that home and just peel off the My World Champion Matt.
Highlights from Matt's wedding weekend 5 years ago, by the way. We got pictures of Matt with his drawers down with the entire wedding party surrounding him.
I wonder how that happened.
I wouldn't know. Somebody stole the cake from the luxury box next door at Citi Field, and Matt fucking lost his mind. Oh, Matt lost his mind a bunch of times during.
No, I didn't lose my mind about that. I lost my mind on the bus.
Yeah, on the bus you did.
Yes,
and two issues. It wasn't really your fault.
Was this Jack and Coke, Matt?
This was all I wanted to do was go to the baseball game and enjoy myself, and I missed first pitch. And people weren't where they were supposed to be. And my sister-in-law brought her ex-boyfriend, who luckily for me and Rhiannon and my sister-in-law and her husband is in all of our wedding pictures. So it's nice to know that the ex-boyfriend ruined all of our wedding pictures because my sister-in-law is a dope.
So the ex-boyfriend is legit ex, no longer involved in anything.
Yeah, he's ghost. He's ghost. He's gone, but he's in all of our pictures. So, yeah, you know, it was a good time. It was a fun wedding.
I feel like if you're not a fiance, you really shouldn't be included in wedding pictures.
Yeah, it was. I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. But, yeah, no. 5 years married to my wonderful wife. I didn't think I was going to make it after last week, so.
Oh, wow. Hot take. Hot take.
I am not even asking questions.
Oh, no follow-ups.
Everything's back to normal. That's all I need to hear.
We're rocking and rolling. So we had five matches at NXT TakeOver 31 from the wrestling, Capital Wrestling Center.
That's right.
It's
nailed it. Fuck, nailed it.
Going into the night, it was me, Tony, Kevin in that order. After I went perfect last week at Clash of Champions, which I didn't get to brag about enough.
Yeah, we didn't. I feel bad about that.
Oh, well, I don't.
No, Matt, here, do it. Brag about it right now. You've earned it.
No, it's fine. We're good. We're good. Because I'm still sitting pretty in first place, not by much. Kevin, who was like 20 games out. Like a month ago, is nipping at our heels. And this is going to, I think this is going to come down to the last pay-per-view like it did last year. No confidence over there, K-Dog?
Nobody, we don't give a shit anymore, dude.
Why?
Because I fucking hate this whole thing. I hate it. I hate it. Who won last week, by the way?
Who won, like, last week?
Who won NXT 31?
You did.
Well, of course I did, because I fucking hate this game.
Well, good news is we have games on the show that two of you hate. So Kevin hates Can You Beat That versus Kate, and Tony hates Picks. And I have nothing but love in my heart for all of it. So I will spread the sunshine on all of you guys.
Spread your legs.
Kevin, let's talk TakeOver. Since you watched.
Hold on. Oh, boy.
I don't hate Can You Beat That. I love Can You Beat That.
Truth. He hates Kate.
I don't hate Kate either.
Oh, let's get a KJG Hate the Kate t-shirt.
No, how about Darren, Fred Joyzer block the Kate. Darren Young block the Kate shirt.
Did that happen?
No, I didn't block her.
No, it was a Darren Young blocker.
No, but Darren Young has the block the hate shirt. I'm going.
Oh, your thing went like, and we couldn't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so is yours. I think there's a little issue with the old internet ski on my end.
It's okay. So, Kevin, you watched TakeOver last night. I've heard nothing but rave reviews. Me and you both were in the same boat. With Kyle O'Reilly, I 100% thought the way they were telling these stories. Tony, don't put your thumbs down. He's a former Ring of Honor world champion. And
friend of the show.
Great friend of the show.
Keep beating Finn Balor.
We come over, we do we do Hot Pot out by the barbecue. Me and Finn Balor. You like the eggplant, huh?
Who doesn't love eggplant, dude?
He's got that giant hitter in his fucking drawers, bro. He needs to put a cup on.
Of course he does.
That's why all them girls are buying his merch.
They should sell a fucking Finn Balor eggplant. I bet you that would go over like gangbusters.
Like just like a toy?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe put a couple AA batteries in there.
Like a wrestling buddy.
No, well, a buddy.
And then for like really special occasions, it comes with like a demon costume.
So you could paint it yourself.
Yeah. So on nights like 5 year anniversaries of weddings.
That's it. You hit the fucking demon button and it's a wrap, bro.
And then it just starts lifting its arms like that, and then it's a whole different experience.
Those fucking tassels are everywhere.
Yeah. It's a party.
It's the coup de grace, like 20,000 RPMs.
There you go.
All right, so Finn, Kyle O'Reilly, I heard was fucking amazing. What was your favorite match of the night, Kevin? We had five of them.
That, by far.
Yeah.
Was this a top five Kevin's favorite matches from NXT TakeOver?
Of five matches?
Thought about it.
Wait, what is it? What is there to think about? That was easily probably, I said maybe show of the year for this show. That, I have to do some research, but That's match of the year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Hot take.
I like that. I like that. I saw a lot of reviews, and I will watch this at some point this week. I heard this was the best takeover of the year.
Yeah, easily.
So Kyle O'Reilly loses to Finn, but there's so much more stuff that happens post-match. Who's this Ridge Holland guy, and why is he picking on Adam Cole?
That's a good question, Matthew.
Bebe.
I don't know. That's I want to say that's new. That's the first time. But Ridge Holland, they've been doing promos for him, like vignettes, like week after week for at least the last two that I've seen. And he's been there for a while. Like, he's had matches, but I think they kind of and I, if someone's in the hot mic or the Discord or whatever, they can correct me on that.
Who's this guy?
Ridge.
He's like a rugby player.
Holland. He's the guy who the Johnny Gargano spot from a couple weeks ago where they tried to do the, I don't know what the fuck it's called. It's like a mid-air body slam twisty-do, and Johnny Gargano got like, the lights were on, but nobody was home. They did a taping.
The Gargantua slam.
He's like an Irish dude, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that too.
Probably.
And I think that's tied it in together where they wondered maybe if Finn had something to do with this other Irish guy beating up Cole. I want to say that's the first interaction they had, but don't quote me on that at all, please. Because you all know how great my memory is. So, yeah, that was the after part of it. So I guess they're strapping the old NXT rocket to Ridge Holland. And the opener was great. Like
Damian Priest and Gargano.
Yeah, and I've been a guy that's been wishy-washy on Priest for a while, but like, it's really fun to see what someone can do when like the people like running the company believe in you. That makes other people that might not have believed in you believe in you. So like, I've never been a huge Damian Priest guy. Comparisons to Baron Corbin, you know, leather rocker, deep voice, whatever, dude. But he's always been good. Don't get me wrong about that. Like Ring of Honor, he's always been decent. I was just never into him in NXT. But I mean, you beat Johnny Gargano in an amazing, fantastic opener. You made a believer out of me and Damian Priest, and he's gonna be a big star for a long time, in my opinion. So the match was great. Shenanigans adjace. Then you went from there. You went, oh god, Kushida. Oh, they did such a good job on the show of making new stars.
New Shida, right?
Yeah, New Shida, if you will.
What? You don't like New Shida?
Who, me?
No, Kevin. I made him laugh. I made the funny guy laugh.
He liked it. He enjoyed it.
So guys that have been there, you just push to like the next level. And the one pick that Tony got wrong was this match, which is astonishing to me that you picked the Dream over Kushida.
What, dude, I didn't expect the fucking Velveteen Dream to have a job. I mean, like, what, something's going to change?
Well, so that's the thing. Velveteen Dream may never win another match for the rest of his life.
So, not unless he's
fucking picked Kyle O'Reilly. So what do you want me to tell you?
Not unless he's wrestling a child. Shut up. The fucking story was, I thought it was there. I thought they were breaking up the Undisputed Era. I thought we were going to see Kyle O'Reilly against Adam Cole again. A main event we've seen several times at Ring of Honor. Once at Wrestle Kingdom where the title changed hands. Once at the Hammerstein Ballroom where me and Kevin saw the title change hands as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember that like we were there yesterday.
Yeah. It was.
So you want a medal?
Yeah, I do want a medal. You giving out medals over there?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Laboo.
No.
Was I don't remember that.
All right, it was Final Battle.
There you go. That wasn't the one where Dalton Castle beat Cody, was it?
Nope, that was a different Final Battle.
All right, there's two of them.
That was the year later.
Two one-night stands, two final battles.
Yes. So Kushida
72 takeovers.
Kushida tapped Velveteen Dream. Tony, I got to get your take on this. NXT is bringing back Halloween Havoc.
Great.
What do you? That's it, man. No fire, no nothing. Just flat, huh?
T dogs, do
what
something.
What are they gonna do? Superimpose a pumpkin over the fucking Capitol Wrestling insignia? All
right, so that's what you should have said instead of great. Like instead of just coming back with nothing, you should have been like, "What are they gonna?" That's the appropriate response.
Also, the Capitol Wrestling Center logo looks exactly like the Cruiserweight Championship logo. I'm just going to put
That's a great point. That's a fantastic point that I just did not, I didn't notice till right now till you said it.
But fantastic. I think that is the old Capital Wrestling logo.
All right, T-Dong. Do your due diligence there.
I am, dude.
Good guy. I don't know how I feel about this. Halloween Havoc's one of my favorite WCW pay-per-views ever. NXT on a Wednesday night, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this. Love Shotzi Blackheart. Love Shotzi Blackheart. But this is just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Is there going to be a, can we get a spin the wheel, make the deal?
Oh, God, but a coal miner's glove match?
No, you don't need the, you need the Texas Death Match, man. Big Ben Vader, Cactus Jack, gold.
T-Dog, what are you doing?
Ooh, I like this. I like what you're doing here. It looks like a ram.
You know what it kind of looks like?
A vagina.
There it is.
But this is the original Capital. This is the Capital Wrestling Corporation logo. So all they did was they squeezed it a little bit. They put a little N and a T in there because there's a kind of X in the middle. That's all they did.
Yeah, it looks like more of an X than a W.
And I don't think this is coming through on the hot mic. But
no, that's what I was looking, but whatever. That's what you get.
Whatever.
Listen, they've brought back shows before. It's not going to be a yearly pay-per-view. It's not. And the same thing with Starrcade. It's a network special, whatever. Like, people that still hold on to this stuff, like, other than maybe War Games, which I think people really, really love, other than that, like, it is what it is. I think the ship has sailed on people really caring about bringing back a WCW named show.
Unless they're doing a Chamber of Horrors where they're going to electrocute somebody, you know?
Look,
mess it up.
Yeah.
You do Hell in a Cell in October. Just make the pay-per-view fucking Halloween Havoc and then have the main event be in a Hell in a Cell.
All right.
Or how about we get rid of these fucking branded pay-per-views that are based around a fucking gimmick like Hell in a Cell? Can we do that finally?
No, you can't. Not when there's a draft happening this Friday, T-Donk.
Oh, we're going to get into the draft, too, after we finish this NXT conversation.
Come on. This is big-time news, Doctor.
NXT?
Or no, we're not done with NXT. Oh, here we go. He does this. Oh, you got a lot of notes. Let's talk about all your notes. Oh, you're not fully fucking done talking about NXT yet?
Oh, here we go.
Don't give me fucking eyes. We're a wrestling podcast.
And then when you ask his opinion on something, he's just like, great, with nothing to freak, with nothing there.
Ember Moon is back.
You're right.
I like
she's back.
That was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Now, Kev, let me ask you, because Toni Storm did like a video thing too, where she had like the head from like the dude from Power Rangers. She just showed up on the fucking screen.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. Oh, like what was it? Zord or
Zord? Yeah, something weird with a Z.
Neil before Zord.
Zygon.
Neil before Zod.
Zord of the Rings.
So
oh, Zord of the Rings.
So they're jacking up the women's division. An already jacked up women's division, they're jacking it up with Toni Storm coming in and Ember Moon coming back.
This seemed like you know how like when WCW like went out of business and they would do this Big Bang Theory where like everything was gonna be like reborn, that's what this felt like for NXT. Where like we kind of felt like it was in, and this is just my opinion, it felt like it was kind of in this weird little state of limbo for a while. But in the last few weeks, really, 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 really picked up. And now you have, I love when they make you think that the surprise is, you know, Toni Storm. That's the news-making moment. But no, it's not. Not that it's not a news-making moment, but we'll see your Toni Storm and we'll raise you Ember Moon at the exact same time. It's like when everyone was hyped about The Undertaker's return with those vignettes where everyone thought it was Sting. And Undertaker comes out, and then 2 seconds before he even says a word, Triple H makes his return. It's one of those load up the surprise, load up the return, and it only adds to your show, which is that segment alone and Ember Moon's natural reaction and her gratefulness and happiness to be back in NXT, I think, was that may have been my favorite part of the show other than the main event. So good. So well done. And Toni Storm is great. Now, Toni Storm is coming over from the UK, and she's, God, I mean, she was in the finals of the second Mae Young Classic. I don't remember if she was the first NXT UK Women's Champion? Did she win that? Was it her?
Kevin, I can look that up for you real quick.
Tony, you're contributing far more to this podcast tonight than I ever have in my life.
Just give me a second. No, the first champion was Rhea Ripley.
And Rhea Ripley, I think, beat Tony Storm in the
final, yes.
Okay, all right, so there you go. So Tony Storm is a major player, any way you slice it. And Ember Moon, who has been hurt for a while, which what a lot of people, I think, was a possibly career-ending injury. And Ember Moon never got, just like many NXT people, never got the fair shake on the main roster. So putting her back in NXT is, like, to me, is like the equivalent of putting Finn back in NXT. It's on that level legit, and it was perfect the way it was done. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And like Matt said, an already strong women's division with Io and Candice. And I guess Mia Yim's not there anymore, but it was good to begin with. Now it's great.
Does the gimmick work if I go Io, whoa? Or is that just a Rio kind of thing?
Io works, I think.
It works, but I feel like I'm screwing Rio out of a gimmick.
Oh, I'm sure she'd be very offended by that, by the way, too.
Probably. You know, yeah. Her and I are very tight. I'm into the Joshi scene now, by the way.
Whoa, did you just name drop that you're a dear good friend of Rio?
Hell yeah, bro. Who isn't? Maybe you're not, but I am.
Whoa, Tony. How did this friendship bloom like the onion that so torturedly ravaged your soul?
Joshi has become a thing on the Discord now. So I've been kind of trying to follow it. Joshi's a weird fucking world, dude. A really weird, weird world.
Yeah, I refuse to get into that.
Are you? I know they ran their big pay-per-view this past weekend. Stardom did.
Yes, we are Stardom.
Bum 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 bum. Bum.
And our girl Mayu Iwatani, who worked a bunch of Ring of Honor stuff, she retained her World of Stardom title, beating Surya.
Big Surya guy.
I know nothing of this stuff. Quickly, to put a bow on NXT TakeOver, Escobar defended and retained his title against Swerve. I really thought the way they were building up Swerve 2 that he was going to walk out with the title, but I forgot that Mr. Escobar has his little cronies hanging around, so you never know what's going to happen there.
See, he is everything that they should have booked Andrade, like, on the main roster.
Escobar?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I heard Swerve look like a fucking superstar.
Oh, another fan. You can go down the line. Maybe with like a couple points in the women's match, it seemed a little off, but that's not what I do. I don't critique matches. I enjoy them or I don't enjoy them. And there's not one thing on this show that I did not enjoy. Gargano is tremendous. Candice is tremendous. Io Shirai is going to be the stud and the staple of that division, I think, and I hope for a long time to come, even though I was wrong in my pick. I had Candice beating her, but this solidified her role as like the stud of that division. And it's going to be great. And, but Escobar, by the way, he's a top level main event guy anywhere you want to put him. So maybe in that respect, Swerve could have probably won. Because then you could just skyrocket Escobar. But I have no problem with anything that they did on the show.
Yeah, going back to your point, Kevin, where you were talking about NXT kind of felt like it was like a restart period. I feel like they did that every time with a takeover, like the feuds would end. I feel like the pandemic definitely affected that. And them doing that weird stuff with Keith Lee and Adam Cole, only to have Killian Cross beat Keith Lee and then get hurt and be out. And I think when they pivot from that and they had Finn and Adam Cole and all those guys in the four-way, I think that really jump-started NXT and put them right back on the path where they needed to be. And I think it showed with this show. From what you said and what I've read in the past 24 hours, this was a home run. So I'm kind of excited to go back and check it out. And Ember Moon coming back and Tony Storm coming over from WWE NXT can only mean good things for NXT. So kudos to them. Tip of the cap. As my friend on the Wednesday night show, the Dr. Voice of Reason, says, more good wrestling is good for wrestling fans.
Ah, that good doctor, voice of reason. He's a smart cookie.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not going to call him a smart cookie. So Tony walked out 4-1. He gained a game on me. Tony now is one game behind me. Me and Kevin both went 3-2. Kevin is 5 games behind me, 4 games behind Tony. I am 129 and 63. Tony is 128 and 64. And Kevin is 124 and 67. So things are going to, you know, as the year winds down, things are going to get caliente.
What is the next? Is the next show Bound for Glory?
Yes, I think it's. I think we're on Bound for Glory right into Hell in a Cell. I think that's that might be right in the same weekend. Maybe I don't know when. Well, let me see.
Bound for Glory is the 24th.
Yes, that's a Saturday night.
I can't wait. Fucking wonderful.
Yeah, Tony.
Won't be able to live tweet that one or either one of them actually.
Tony's excited for that. October 25th will be Hell in the Cell. A whole weekend of picks. Ooh.
We could pick the Russell Pro Dream 16 if we want to. Richard Holiday.
That's you're scraping the barrel there because you have insider information. I don't like that. Nope.
Matt's dear good friend, Ken Dixon.
Oh, God, they fucking got Ken Dixon to do that. They're really yeah. fucking hurting for talent, huh?
Pillman Jr. No, they like to bring in outside guys. Pillman Jr. will be there again. Who else? Bowens and a six man.
Bowens will be on AEW Dark this week.
There you go. Matt, that sounds like a segue to me.
Tony, did you watch AEW last week? I know you were hot in the pants last week about AEW, about Miro.
Fuck. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I have to fucking think about this.
Did you enjoy the Billy Mitchell appearance?
Yes and no. I'm not a Billy Mitchell fan.
He's a dirtbag.
He is. He's a piece of shit. And listen, I've never seen King of Kong, but I need to see it immediately. Yeah, never saw it. Never bothered to sit down to watch it. Doesn't mean I never wanted to see it. It's just that it was kind of on my radar, and then I sort of forgot about it. But
why does I have to look up who this Billy Mitchell guy was?
He's the guy that sort of holds the record for a bunch of video games, including Donkey Kong.
He looks like Vincent.
But
he looks like the Horror King.
Yeah, long story, very short. He may have been caught cheating and he's suing to have his records reinstated, which they may or may not have already been. But yeah, the documentary's got nothing to do with what's going on currently with him. But
no, but the documentary so some dude breaks his world record.
Yeah, Steve Wiebe.
And they go and investigate his machine. And his machine, the board was modified by like Billy Mitchell's mortal enemy. So Billy Mitchell goes after. Yeah, Kevin's making a face. Like, this is a real thing. This is a real-life video game war. So Billy Mitchell goes after this Steve guy who just likes playing fucking Donkey Kong in his garage. And then
he recorded himself playing the entire game all the way through to beat the record.
So he has evidence. So, yeah. So that's the – King of Kong is awesome. It's on YouTube. Watch it. Your mind will be fucking blown.
Yeah, but even further than that, there's a whole fucking like underground scene with the whole Twin Galaxies was an arcade. I forget where it was located, but
Vermont?
they became like the be all and end all of everything video games. And they were the ones that started up the high scores. They were like the official high score keepers and arbiters of like all the video game scores. And yeah, dude, there's been guys over the years that were cheating on like Atari games and like lying about shit. And they never had video proof. And Twin Galaxies was just like, yeah, sure. You know, we'll accept it. And we'll go forward. We'll take your word for it. We don't need any proof. But you know what? Video games have been around for a very long time.
Oh, what is this nonsense?
I can't imagine that video games have not been in the system and in the fucking Illuminati keeping track of everyone. And to help us point out that very situation, please welcome back Francis Wright. Francis, how are you, my friend?
No.
I'm doing excellent. And in fact, you know, because it's about how I feel 99% of the time. It's about how I feel. But I want to know how somebody else feels. Hey, Matt, buddy. How you doing? Long time no see. You haven't talked to me in a while. What's going on?
Why are you so loud? Why do you have a fucking tinfoil hat on? Why would you do this to me?
But okay, hold on. First of all, I have a tinfoil hat. We established that last time. It's to prevent people from reading my thoughts, my completely sane, rational, important thoughts. And second of all, why am I so loud? It's because my voice deserves to be heard. And in fact, you need to listen to me too. So you're going to listen to everything I say.
Wait, wait, wait.
time throughout the entire podcast.
Before you continue, I appreciate everything you're spouting, and I'm gonna let you speak, but I think we need a second just to clear clear everything before we move forward.
Okay. Yeah. You know, actually, so when I first started to hear that, you just started playing the purification song, of course. When I first started to hear that, I'm like, am I listening to an angel? And I was like, wait, that's me. Of course. That makes total sense. You know, because my voice is so good. Like, when you listen to me sing, it sounds like you're ascending to heaven. It does it not?
What? Old man, do you not know how to work a camera? Why are we getting this terrible shot of you? Like, you're looking down at me. Don't look down at me with your fucking tinfoil hat.
I'm looking down on you. Why? Because all I've ever heard you say is like, oh, Iron Maiden's so great. And when I say, hey, they're part of the Illuminati too, you throw a fit like a child, okay?
We're going back to this Illuminati nonsense. Why did you do this to me? Why would you fucking bring him on our show?
Listen.
Why wouldn't you bring me on the show?
Listen.
Bring me on the show.
Francis, he's been down in the dumps a little bit. He had a rough weekend last weekend. We were trying to bring him back, you know, like, and he's confused about a lot of things. I figure a little purification, a little enlightenment would help him out, but apparently he's not very appreciative.
He's not appreciative. You know, this is a shame.
No, I'm not appreciative at all. This is killing our momentum coming out of 500.
Listen, okay, here's the deal, okay?
Why do you have a fucking tinfoil hat on?
Are you seriously asking him this question? Are you serious?
Okay, hold on. So you're pretending like I'm dumb, like I'm the crazy one. And yet you're asking a question, what do you have a tinfoil hat on? I established it earlier in the episode, and I established it the last time I was on your show.
Are you next to a refrigerator?
Maybe you're the dumb one. Maybe you're the crazy one.
Did you ever think
about that, sir?
Are you in the bathroom? What is that next to you, a refrigerator?
He's got to hide in the bathroom, probably.
Yeah, I got to hide.
From what?
The Illuminati's after me. Listen, I'm speaking the truth. I'm speaking so many different truths about the Illuminati that I have to hide in an undisclosed location. Now, last time I didn't let you in. I didn't let you see because I didn't trust you with seeing footage of where I live. And rightfully so, obviously, because you are a degenerate.
Oh, my God.
Superhero, okay? I speak the truth. I speak the truth about how the Earth is flat and how the moon isn't real and how professional wrestling is degeneracy. I speak all these truths, okay? And when I speak the truth, Matt, you just get irrational and angry and start saying things that, quite frankly, do not make any sense whatsoever. So that's just further proof that I'm correct in everything that I say, is it not? Tony, I mean, everybody's more rational than Matt Bowman, of course.
Dude, with the fucking last name, kayfabe, what the fuck? Jesus Christ.
Okay. So hold on. So you want to show my cam. You want to show where I live, but you're worried about kayfabe.
You live.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is just unbelievable on this side of the world, Francis. I apologize for that. I also apologize.
No, don't apologize. Shut the fuck up. Don't apologize. So you can tell what town I live in just because you can see the room I'm in.
Of course he can.
Well, that's the dumbest bunch of horse shit I've ever heard in my life.
Terrible. How dare you treat a guest this way? Francis, I apologize. I sincerely apologize.
First of all, I didn't know he was going to be a guest because I would have fucking gotten diarrhea again and not been on the show, okay?
Listen, I've had diarrhea for 36 hours. You think it's comfortable? I think not.
You know, maybe you talk to your friend Francis about the Outback Steakhouse. Maybe they're putting something in the Blooming Onion to give you the runs.
Actually, they do. Let me tell you something. You know, you're going to Outback. You shouldn't be doing that. Let me tell you about my diet that I've actually cultivated since the last time I was on the show. So I actually eat tinfoil rolls, you know, put a little pasta sauce on it for a little bit of flavor. And as far as what you should drink, they tell you you should drink water. No, don't do that. Do not drink water ever, okay? Instead, what you need to do is drink your own urine. And if you drink your own urine, it'll cleanse your system, right? So don't go to Outback because that's going to make you sick.
Story checks out.
Yeah, it does. And hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm great. I had to, what Matt said.
You know what? When I was a kid, I drank my own urine. So I don't know what to tell you.
See, there you go. You know what? You should go back to doing things that you did as a kid.
Okay? No, it tastes like chicken noodle soup that had been out in like a 90 degree sun all day. It was gross.
Well, yeah, I mean, it might be a little gross, but that, you know, it's just, it takes a lot to cleanse your system, you know?
Tony, why are you making a, you've never heard my I drank my own pee story when I was a kid?
I've heard it. I just never you described it like you would describe soup. I mean, soup at 90 degrees is not bad soup, is it?
And you described it like it was a regular occurrence.
Yeah, like, was this a weekly thing, a daily thing, twice a day? Like how often were you drinking?
No, just urine? Once. Just once. I just drank my just pee once. Yes.
You probably should have continued doing it.
You think
How, like, what kind of quantity are we talking about here?
It was like a play teacup full of piss.
Whose play teacup were you pissing in?
All right, so for those that don't know the story, when I was a kid, I would play at the neighbor's house. At my house, we didn't have a lock on the bathroom door, but there was enough of a space under the bathroom door that if the light was on, you knew somebody was in there. Me being a dumb kid, and, you know, if you ask Francis, he'd say I'm a dumb adult still. I assumed everybody else worked on that, you know, system where if the light was on, there was somebody in there. So several times I just opened the bathroom door to find my neighbor's mother in, like, her curlers or in her bra doing her hair. So I was playing in the basement once. It was hot. I was playing in the basement once, and I had to pee, and I heard the shower running. Don't ask me why I didn't just fucking walk on next door. So I had to piss. So I pissed in a teacup, and then I had to get rid of it, so I drank it.
You were really that hard up to see your friend's mother naked again that you were willing to piss in a teacup?
No, I did not want to walk in on her again, and I was afraid of doing that. So instead of just walking next door and pissing, I just peed in a teacup. Don't ask. I can't explain. I was like 8. I don't know why I did it.
Francis, once again, I apologize.
Hey, listen, you shouldn't apologize for that, because here's the thing. When we're young and we haven't been corrupted yet, we haven't gone to school and learned all these scientific facts, which is what they give when they can't explain things, okay? Before that period of time, we actually know how things should be. So what's going on here is Matt Bowman, back then, he knew how things were supposed to be run. You know, pee in a little cup and then drink it, like Mary Poppins.
Dropping the last name.
Fucking Frantic's the worst.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, Frantic. Frantic sure is the worst. Yeah.
No, Frantic was one of the best guests we ever had because he was, like, off his fucking rocker in a fun way. You, on the other hand.
Well, I'm glad that you're admitting that I'm not off the rocker and everything I say is rational. But, yeah, you know, Matt back in the day, you know, he knew what was up. He knew what to do. You drink your own urine, okay? Now...
My man, I agree with you on that.
Well, there you go. So, like, you've redeemed yourself a little bit. Now, if only you would admit that Iron Maiden are a bunch of degenerate shills who should not get the same time that they've had, you know, maybe then I would be able to forgive you a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Are you willing to do that?
No. First of all, if you're a degenerate, that means you're a young person. Bruce Dickinson's like 1,000 years old. He's never going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I don't know anything about this weird Illuminati shit. They just make good heavy metal. But you, why did you fucking change my name, you motherfucker?
Yeah, I didn't know that he had the authority to do that, by the way.
Oh, I have lots of authority. It's the power that Francis actually gives to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, is it the power? Oh, see, Frantic now. How do you like them apples, funny man, with your fucking tinfoil hat on? I don't understand what is going on here. Did you know about this, Kevin?
Listen, I can
tell. Yeah, I knew about it.
Hold on.
Matt, I'm sorry, man. It was like 15 minutes before the show.
The reason why I changed his name to Frantic is because I don't want the Illuminati tracking him down for this interview. I figured this would be sacred ground. We had the purification
fucking
ceremony.
Fucking Twitter handle is his goddamn name, just like mine, as it was pointed out in the fucking hot mic chat. So I got egg all over my face again anyway.
And piss in your mouth.
And Matt, I got no offense, Francis, but when Tony said that he was going to be calling in, I was like, I really wish you didn't tell me, because I thought the surprise. Like, I would rather be surprised by this than know about it and betray your trust.
Well, I'm a wonderful surprise. I mean, there are some times where, because some people don't want to listen to me. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know why, because I just make so much sense. But sometimes people don't want to listen to me. So what I do is I show up at their house with a megaphone and I start speaking the truth through their bedroom window at 3 a.m. Okay. So that's the kind of, once you get that, you know, it's pretty good. Go ahead, Tony.
Begging you to do that to me.
I will, because like I said, I can tell your address based on the room that you're in. So what I'm going to do, hold on just 1 second. So I'm going to show up at your house at 3 a.m. And then when you're sleeping, I'm going to start screaming. Kind of sounds like you're just saying nonsense at this point.
You, I welcome that because you don't have to deal with me. You'll have to deal with my wife, and that is not something that I would suggest. And the fun notes that we went over before the show, how we were up listeners, well, you could throw that in the fucking garbage, Tony, because you invited fucking Tinfoil Tim back to the show.
Wow. Hey,
listen.
I don't want to listen.
This is what you have to do, okay? It's not the Shining Wizards podcast anymore. What you should do, you should name it the Francis Wright podcast. And every week, I'm going to come up for a minimum of 4 hours talking about something. You know, some sort of new discovery that I made or some sort of life hack to make your life easier, such as drinking your own urine. And then after that, you know, your viewership is going to skyrocket because eventually enough people are going to say, you know what, he sort of makes sense. And then, you know, your podcast is going to make all sorts of money, which is going to go to me, of course, but I'm going to reinvest it. Oh, I haven't told you guys yet. I came up with a new way to raise money to defeat the Illuminati. You guys want to hear about it? Matt, don't talk because I don't care about your opinion. You guys want to hear about it?
Illuminati, not really.
Not really. Well, then you're out. Get out of here, Kevin. I don't care about you. Tony.
Of course I want to hear it. Are you kidding me?
Please, let the fucking watermelon heads have the room.
It's a two-hour show.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to tell you about it. You know, you, Matt, Kevin, I wish I knew your last name so I could out you too.
Don't worry about all it. Right. Listen, I'm not a hater. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not a fan of this happening right now. So go on. We'll let you speak. You got the floor.
Go on. So basically, this is the way it works. I have a surplus of mind control protection, tinfoil rolls that I can distribute. And the way that I can distribute that is this simple. I find 10 people that believe in my truths, and those people get 11 rolls of tinfoil, one for themselves to wear, and the others to distribute to 10 people they know to believe in my truths. And then those people will find 10 people that they know, and those people would find 10 people that they know to distribute, and so on and so forth. And this is going to raise money to fight the battle against the Illuminati, but this is also going to give people mind control protection so people can't read their thoughts. It's a pretty good plan, right?
I love it. It's like a Ponzi scheme, except it's actually helping people. I love
it. Yeah. Well, I don't know how I feel about you calling a Ponzi scheme. It's not a scheme.
I mean, it's a bad word, but people, when they hear that, they know, like, you know, the kind of system you're talking about. But it's not for nefarious purposes, of course.
Of course, yeah. It's for great purposes. Like, the money that I get is absolutely, absolutely going to a good cause. It's not going into my pocket to, like, you know, buy a boat to go in the ocean or anything. Like, no, man. It's going to fight the battle against the Illuminati. Absolutely.
Matt, thoughts?
Yes. If you go over to the Francis Wright Twitter machine at Francis Wright PW, I'll plug him. He's a guest. I have to have some sort of respect for him. I see we got a couple hashtags up on your little Twitter thing there. Black Lives Matter and speaking out. There's no Illuminati involvement with any of those things?
Oh, no. Those are separate. Those are separate things. No Illuminati involvement on the Black Lives Matter movement or the speaking out movement. And we should respect both of them. You know who we shouldn't respect, though?
You're going to say Iron Maiden, so I'm going to say no. Did you draw the third eye on the panda bear?
No. I saw it was a bear. Okay. So first off, I dealt with this. It's top secret, so I can't reveal too much about it yet. But I saw this bear, rainbow, you know, look like one of these hippies out there. Okay. You see this bear with two eyes, but then you see a third all-seeing eye on its forehead. So that's strike number one, okay? And then I saw the detached bear head just sitting up there. And so a bear can detach its head, a bear can't detach its head, so we know that it's a government spy drone, and that's strike number two. And everybody who's ever watched baseball would know it's two strikes and then you're out. So yeah, the bear's a government spy drone. All bears are government spy drones, especially the ones that you see out there all the time. They're rainbow painted, okay? So that's the all bears are government spy drones. All animals are government spy drones. So if anybody listening to this has a cat or a dog, it's time to take your cat or dog to the pound. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it was.
Yeah, and I saw the Rick and Morty episode where the dogs were taking over Earth. He's not lying.
Right. Not you know, sometimes every once in a while, you'll see a TV show or you'll see a movie that's an elaborate warning about what's going on. Jaws is the same way. The author of the novel, Peter Benchley, he made Jaws as an elaborate warning about what's going on. Okay?
A visionary.
And how convenient that he allegedly passed away 14 years ago. But really, they've been holding him hostage ever since for spilling their dirt.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's sad. It's sad. It's sad that you can't even speak the truth anymore without being ridiculed and then eventually, you know, held hostage. It's terrible.
All right. Well, Francis, I think it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Not really. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a supporter of the show. I did enjoy the video of you in the car with your Shining Wizards t-shirt on. I am upset that it did not burst into flames, but whatever. What are you going to do? Don't make a fucking face, Tony. You knew that this was going to happen. Why do you have to poke the bear? Why do you have to antagonize me? I was having a great time. I got fucking notes for days.
First of all, don't poke the bear because the bear is an instrument of the government. And second of all, you wish that his car would burst into flames? Come on, how could you?
Once again, how am I the bad guy when he's over here saying, I hope you burst into flames? You're basically saying that you hope I die. And people say, you know, I hope Francis Wright dies. That's terrible.
That's just god awful.
I didn't say that. You could have escaped the car. I don't know what happens. I don't know how fucking agile you are. If you're quick,
maybe the tin hat and the Shining Wizard shirt would have saved him.
Yeah.
Maybe he was not in the car when it burst into flames to begin with.
An optical illusion.
All right. You know what, Francis? I got to give him credit for that one. That was a good observation, Kev.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to leave the people with before we let you go, Francis?
Well, there's one more thing I have to do. You know, especially because Matt's over here saying what he's saying. So, you know the drill. Everybody put their hand to the screen. Let's go. One more time. And I'm going to get out of here. And Matt can say all the stuff he wants. And now you should feel like you've ascended to heaven. And if you don't, it's because you're worthy of going to hell. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you, Francis. That was awesome. That was so awesome.
You're welcome. Goodbye, everybody.
Do you not feel enlightened, Kevin? Do you not feel enlightened?
T-Donk, I do not. And I hate that you made me put Matt through this.
Put him through what? He needs enlightenment in his life.
He doesn't. I think Matt's in a pretty good place.
Kev.
I feel like I understand maybe you needing enlightenment because of the whole Bloom and Onion fiasco. And maybe this was a selfish move on your part, and you really wanted it for you, and you just took Matt along as collateral damage.
Kev, I'm going to do you a favor right now. I'm going to break us away from all the enlightenment. I'm going to need a few seconds to catch my breath. But pal, what do we always say about this time?
Matt, I'm sorry, and back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. The more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
All right. It's time to thank those. Nice. That support us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And if you enjoy what we're doing here, you can sign up for our Patreon for as little as $1 a month. The $3 level, it gets you some watch-alongs. The $5 level gets you to watch-alongs. We get you shout-outs on the show. We plug your stuff. $10, you get a small box of wizardry. $20 a month, you get a big box of wizardry full of T-shirts, stickers, beer koozies, DVDs, anything that I can find in the box of wizardry. We're going to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. The AOP of the SWP, Anthony and Danny Rusinello. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. It's a local brewery here in New Jersey in Bergen County. If you are looking for some nice brew, go over to elementary.com. They're up in Hackensack. They hosted us for our 8-year anniversary. Ryan was gracious enough to reach out to us last week and offer us some brews. Ryan's a great guy. You hear him on the Wednesday night show, and he supports the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, so we thank him. Sean Toe and Sean Callejo, they are only joined by their first names. That's the way they put them on the list, so that's where they get read. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Henser over at ondeckic.com. Kate's a great person. She's part of the Wednesday night crew, and her and Kevin have a little tiff going on over there over the Can You Beat That Championship. So Kevin's making faces. Tony's making faces. That'll all come to a head next week because Kate said she is too busy tonight watching the Yankees. Should have time for Kevin. I thought that was a bit of a bullshit excuse too, but maybe she's afraid, Kevin. Maybe she's backpedaling. Hopefully
Listen,
she trips.
Listen, man, I have fun with the Yankees too, but I'm still here.
She might be Yankee somebody else off.
Come on. Respect.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it's JR. You never know. He might have heard the Wednesday night
show. Ah! What? Isn't that nonsense on Wednesday? Goddamn, barbecue, sassafras.
Yeah, he's a freakazoid. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Matt Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni. Happy birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Kenny Hawsey. Jay Kopp, the big Kopp of Pump over on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Kopps, the Mott Spock.
Yes.
I think it's his birthday, too.
Happy birthday, Mr. Spock.
Like today.
Happy birthday.
It was recent. I remember writing on Facebook to him.
Okay, well, happy birthday. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III. His pal Antonio Hausserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch. TJ Vegas. And certainly, last and least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean? Put a little pizzazz on that one.
I like the little pantomimes there, too. That was good.
I know what you mean, Kevin. And Kevin, you sent me a little screen cap of your conversation with Tony. And I just want you to know, while that was going on, whatever nonsense that was with Francis Wright, I actually booked a real guest, and he'll be calling in at 8:15. So you guys can enjoy that.
Well, I mean, you got to tell one of us. I at least told.
Oh, who is yes. This? Yes. One of us knows. That one is me. I am the one.
Did you? All right. Let's see if I can do some investigative reporting here.
Good luck. You have 3 minutes.
You look for a K-Dong.
What is K-Dong?
Kevin, say something.
I'll leave it there. Whatever.
Well, if you're like K-Dong and you got a nice.
What do you want me to do, Matt? What am I to say? Freaking no, this is going to offend Matt. I can't do that. I don't want to be no fun, Kevin.
It was funny. I give it to you. K-Dong has the nice clean dong. And you know why K-Dong has a nice clean dong?
Manscaped.com.
Kevin has a lawnmower 3.0.
Eat off that dong.
It is an engineer team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball trimmer ever. And K-Dong rocks it. He's got that hitter hanging out. He's bringing it to the hat. He's bringing it to WrestlePro shows. It's everywhere. Don't let the quarantine fool you. K-Dong has got the dong for you.
Well, let me tell you this. No, well, that's a ridiculous statement. But let me go ahead and say that I did use it this past weekend because I had my first comedy show in quarantine. So I was going to be out amongst the people outside at the Oscar Schneider Performing Arts Center. And I wanted to make sure, you know, you never know, just in case. You want to be ready. Always ready. Like Matt Cardona. And I use it. It's fantastic. First time on the region. The other times I actually used it on my face. Now I can never use it on my face again. So.
But you could replace the blade every 3 months. That's the beauty of the Lawnmower 3.0.
Thanks for that, T-Donk. Thanks for chiming in, buddy. No, you're right. You're right. So I used it smooth as silk in the shower too, by the way, because it's waterproof. So. Perfect. Worked great.
And as the LED light. And if you want to check out the Lawnmower 3.0, go over to manscaped.com. Throw that code in, Wizards. You save 20% at checkout, and you get free shipping. And now's the perfect
That's
time.
Right.
All right? It's going to get cold. No one's going to want to go out. You want to shack up, and you're going to want to bang, yep. Baby. You're going to want to put your balls on everything. Make sure your balls are clean. Make sure your balls are nice. Put the ball deodorant on. Take care of the ladies while they take care of you. Go over to manscaped.com. Use that code word wizards at checkout.
Yes, like, shave your balls.
Yeah.
Your balls will thank you. I'll thank you.
Tony will thank us.
Of course they will.
So our special guest is calling
your in. Your special guest is actually calling in right now. I'm going to add him to the line. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline. He is the 10th degree karate master.
Third degree.
10th. I'm trying to talk you up a little bit.
I appreciate it, but I mean, you know, the belt has the stripes. I don't have enough tape to put the stripes on it. It's been people will call me out in this day and age.
Well, last Tuesday night, I'm calling out the referee. I'm calling out Trevor Murdoch. You were robbed. You were robbed. You should be sitting 100%. Here right now. With the NWA 100%. National Championship. But shenanigans and, excuse my language, bullshit. I'm going to say it.
Thank you for recognizing that. I appreciate that. I'm glad someone else has seen things the way that they happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aaron Stevens joining us. And I've been a huge fan of the NWA. I've been following this thing from the jump. NWA Power has been amazing. You've been amazing. The story with you and the question mark. Mm-hmm. This whole battle with Trevor Murdoch, it's just been unbelievable storytelling. just let us know, like, what's it been like for you working for NWA Power? You enjoying yourself? You having a good time? It's all shenanigans and tomfoolery? Because you've been a huge part of that show, an enjoyable part of that show.
Thank you. No, it's been really, really an amazing experience because I was, I was, you know, completely out of the wrestling business as of about a year ago. And no plans to return, no desire to return. Got a call from Billy Corgan and kind of explained to me what NWA Power was going to be. And I was, you know, if it hadn't been anyone but Billy, I would have said no, but I said, okay, well, they already got me a plane ticket. So I hopped on a plane. And then when I saw the studio and I saw the setup, I was like, oh, okay. So we're going to do this right then. And I tell you what, like from soup to nuts, everything about NWA Power, it was a very, I don't like the term magical because I think that's, you know, a little bit, I don't want to say excessive, but there was something very romantic about NWA Power. And our fans, I tell you what, like I've wrestled pretty much everywhere there is to wrestle. And, you know, they were so loyal and are still so loyal. But I took for an audience, I mean, you know, when we're doing four tapings a night or whatever it is, for them to still bring that energy all the time in that room. And that's, it is just absolutely amazing. And, you know, the creative freedom I had, you know, I had no idea, like the first set of tapings, I think we filmed like six or eight shows or something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but I started out as, okay, I'm just going to come back and I'll do a promo and say how I've been, you know, out in Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, by the end of the tapings, I'm a karate guy. So that was, and that was about a year ago. So it was just really, really incredible. And again, to have the creative freedom from Billy and everybody, it really is amazing. And to be able to perform in front of the fans is incredible. And I tell you what, loved working with the Question Mark.
This was an incredible surprise that Shining Wizards, Matt, sprung upon us, and I couldn't be happier. Let me ask you this. How long did it take for you to realize that, hey, I can do this every week again, or I could do this again after not necessarily losing your love of it, but just not wanting to do it anymore? How long did it take for you to realize that this is where I am again?
You know, it was strange because I hadn't really been in a ring or anything until about, I think it was about 2 months prior, because I went up to hang out with Santino Marella, who is like one of my best buddies. And I was in Canada hanging out with him for about a month and just kind of like bumped around in his ring and like taught a class or two in there, but nothing too major. And then, you know, Billy made the call. I had to go to Hawaii to film a TV show for like 3 weeks. And then I remember I came back from Hawaii, like did my laundry, changed my clothes. I think I had like a day and a half off and then flew to Georgia and did it. And to me, there wasn't really that much time to prepare. But at the same time, to me, it's like riding a bike, right? I mean, okay, you know, I know how to fall down. I hope to God I can still throw a punch and not kill anyone. And I can still drop a knee. And a lot of those, like the knee drops and all that stuff. You know, my wind, I had no idea what my wind was going to be. And so I'm like, all right, let's go out and do this and see what happens. And, you know, I remember actually specifically, it was Colt Cabana, because I'd known Colt for years. And, you know, I completely respect Colt's opinion. Colt's a buddy of mine. That, you know, someone that I know will give me an honest answer and not just a whatever. I was like, hey, how was that? He goes, dude, you didn't miss a beat. And I was, oh, okay. Well, thanks, Colt. And then I just kind of from there was like, well, if we got to do this again, we'll just, you know how to tie my boots up, know how to put my trunks on, or in this case now a karate suit. So we just go from there.
Outstanding.
You mentioned the Question Mark, and mm-hmm. I do have questions, but first, during the pandemic, Tropical Pirates, is the streaming through the roof?
It was amazing. You know, the royalty checks are just now starting to come in, and I'm completely, completely just taken back with the popularity of it. I believe, you know, in some parts of Romania, the film has actually won awards in film festivals. And, you know, I think it's pretty much like a lot of Eastern Europe is where Tropical Pirates is mostly popular. So that's something I'm just very, very grateful for.
We are also very grateful for it. It's a fantastic film. I enjoy it thoroughly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You bring joy to my cold, soulless heart, according to our last guest. So, Tony, you were going to ask a question to Mr. Stevens.
I just wanted to know, I know you've got to be making money hand over fist. What's the exchange rate right now through the Eastern Bloc? Are you making a good, you know, on the conversion or, you know, what kind of money?
Well, see, the funny issue with that is one of the financiers from the movie, and this is how I hooked up with the question mark. See, the question mark was obviously in Mongrovia and had a very, very successful chain of strip mall karate schools that specifically taught Mongrovian karate. But there was a Mongrovian financier for the movie Tropical Pirates. So the question mark was brought on as a stunt coordinator and fight choreographer. So we kind of linked up then. I brought him to the NWA. But, you know, your question was money, which is the exchange rate. Well, the Mongrovian currency, you know, the Mongrovian questions, as they're called, you know, we have the dollar, the Japanese have the yen, they have the questions. We're still trying to figure that out. So it's still very much a question of, you know, the exact exchange, but it's all being worked out. I'm not worried about it. I know everyone in Mongrovia that I've dealt with on a business level has been nothing but stellar and on the up and up. So
is the economy in Mongrovia doing okay during this whole time?
I tell you what, during this whole time, the pandemic and everything, what's one part of the world you haven't heard anything about?
Mongrovia.
Exactly. There has not been one reported case from Mongrovia, and you can check that. You can use the internet, anything. There is not one reported case in Mongrovia.
And everyone's fine. I probably know why. They probably all wear masks in Mongrovia.
Come on,
it's obvious, Matt.
There you go. The question mark was doing this before it was even cool. So, exactly. I mean, that's pretty much everything you have to know about Mongrovia and the kind of people and the quality of people that come out of there.
No, I have to bring it up because I do it every time we talk about the question mark.
Don't you dare.
Since you've been at the tapings, have you ever seen the question mark and Josephus in the same room?
Yes.
There you go, Matt. Right, you can stop talking about it.
Look,
yeah.
I can assure you I have seen both the question mark and Josephus in the same room. So, yeah. And look, there's a lot of people out there, and I get it, you know, with pro wrestling, there's a lot of speculation people, but no, coming from someone who is on the inside, and I've shared a locker room with both the question mark and Josephus. Yes, I've seen them both in the same room.
Okay. See, Tony, it was just speculation. I was just speculating.
But it's okay to ask questions.
And he's like the next, if I'm not going to ask the question mark, I'm going to ask Aaron Stevens. And now I know the truth.
Yeah.
So I can put that to rest. We can put it to bed.
Thank you. I'm glad I could help with that.
Now, what we can't put to bed is this injustice from last Tuesday night. I mean, is Billy Corgan doing anything? Are the people at the UWN doing anything? What is going to happen here? Because I think Trevor Murdoch is a disgusting, out of shape, gross, okay?
Well,
and he's a cheater.
I petitioned the NWA. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if my in-ring days need to kind of just go away for a while. I mean, I feel robbed. It was an injustice. And, you know, action will be taken, and I'm not sure if that's going to be via a lawsuit or a rematch. I'm still trying to work that out right now. But, you know, look, it was the first title change on Primetime Live. We've been going for 3 weeks. We're getting ready to do week number four tomorrow. What do you guys think of the show?
I love
it. Aside from my being robbed.
Well, I mean, in fairness, if you want to look at it just from a moment in time, I mean, you know, Trevor did get a bit emotional. I mean, his emotion was probably misplaced because it was a robbery. But, you know, I mean, I've rented the entire block of the first four episodes. The first one, as we know, had some technical glitches. But overall, the product's been really good. I've enjoyed every single episode. There's a lot of variety. I'm excited that Chris Dickinson's there, that he's finally getting a chance to shine. He's getting himself, you know, on a big stage, big time into the tag teams. A lot of those guys have been impressing me. We spoke to Danny Limelight just a couple of weeks ago. He continues to impress. So nothing but good things. It was good to see Allison Kay come back, you know, throwing down the gauntlet for Thunder Rosa. Good to see her and Priscilla Kelly, their title match. They knocked it out of the park.
Oh, it absolutely. Yes.
Insane how good that match.
Absolutely. Yep.
So how is this product on the United Wrestling Network with this influx of new talent, as opposed to the NWA where you saw, you know, for more or less the same people just about every other week or every week? How is that ingratiating itself in the new era of professional wrestling where we are today, giving these new talents a chance to work?
Well, the thing is, you know, to me, it's a balance of both, right? I mean, you're going to get your NWA staples. We've had NWA titles be defended on there, you know, one of which, of course, was unjustly taken from my hands. But you're going to get your NWA feature matches, and you're going to get to see new up and coming stars. You know, I believe it's MLW, the Hammerstone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, he kicked the whole show off, the whole series off, really. So it is going to be a blend. I mean, it's faces you're familiar with and some new faces that you may not be as familiar with, but are actually going to be stars. I mean, you know, I'll take the OVW moniker. You know, they say tomorrow's superstars today. You're going to get tomorrow's superstars today and today's superstars. You know, NWA world title defenses. I think maybe a tag team title defense is coming up between the women's title defended. It's such a great mix of, you know, current, future, and even some past. That, you know, stay tuned because we may surprise you with some people from the past showing up.
I like where that's going. And Billy Corgan put out on Wednesday on Instagram to celebrate the 1-year anniversary of NWA Power that even if they can't have fans back in the arena, it looks like they're working towards having NWA Power episode shot again. Tim Storm involved, obviously. If you decide, I got the hard-hitting questions tonight. If you decide to go back, and I know you're a well-traveled veteran, no fans, would that affect you at all?
You know, up until, like, okay, so the primetime live show, I was a bit concerned, shall we say, because I am the type of performer to where, you know, I can go out there and, okay, we're going to do this. And then if the people are, you know, I pretty much feed off of the people. I feed off of their reactions. I feed off of kind of the general vibe. And I dictate what I'm doing in the ring, whether it's live TV or otherwise, by them, because I'm a firm believer in the live audience is a microcosm of the greater audience. So, excuse me, if they buy something or if they're kind of, you know, going with whatever, the larger audience, the TV audience at home is as well. So I was very, very concerned going into that on Tuesday and didn't affect me as much as I thought it would, but I just don't know if I'm the type of performer that would just be better served for a live audience. I think I know myself and who I am and kind of like have an idea of what the public kind of expects from me. So I think that's what we're trying to debate right now and kind of work out.
Now, as much as you were screwed, maybe this opens an opportunity for you to go after Nick Aldis.
You know what? Anything is possible. Anything is possible, so stay tuned.
And I would like to see Aaron Stevens in the question mark just collect gold, like tag titles.
Get yes.
That 10 pounds of gold.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have, let's see, 10. We could have like 60 pounds of gold, right?
You can't beat that. And what is that? Yeah. And in Mongrovia, forget it. You guys would be kings. You'd be living like.
Well, the gold exchange rate, it's just, you know, it'd be ridiculous not to. I think we condense all the titles down to one title, which instead of a belt, we could have just a little medallion, like a medal. And then we take the remainder of the gold and, you know, we put it in to the Mongrovian economy.
Love it. Love it.
A man of the people. Yeah. And I can't believe people cheer for Trevor Murdoch. It's upsetting. I'm very upset about this.
It is. But again, it's 2020. That's the world we live in.
And you mentioned a great point about every role that you've been in your wrestling career. You could just tell that you do play off the crowd, and it's incredible. And do you think the longer this goes on without crowds, how do you think wrestlers who might not be used to this will acclimate? Will it make them better? Will it make them worse?
I think a lot of wrestlers, from what I've seen, and this is, you know, I don't want this to come off as a scathing critique of wrestling today, but I don't think a lot of wrestlers really paid attention to the crowd when there was a crowd. You know, they're worried about going out and hitting athletic moves, which is great. I mean, I'm not anti flips at all.
Right.
However, you know, I believe at its core, professional wrestling is storytelling, and a good story needs good characters and characters you can invest in. And, you know, I judge a talent's worth by when they come out, when their music hits or they walk into an arena, what does the crowd do? And that, you know, and I've seen, you know, even from WWE, like there's not a lot of people that the crowd, you know, and this is going from, you know, a few years ago, like really cares about. And that's sad. I think it's really, really sad.
And I guess I kind of wanted to direct that question more to you personally. Like the longer this goes on without an audience, will you feel just as comfortable as you do now or that you've always been?
To me, you know, once the bell rings, you just got to kind of take care of business. So it's like the physicality of it and everything is, it's fine. It's definitely shifting now in terms of like me thinking what the people at home would react to. And you know, like there's different, just like certain intangibles, like timing in between things and like being able to kind of sell something the right way. And, but again, adaptability has always been something I've been fairly competent at. And before it was adaptability to where, oh, okay, if a crowd's doing this, I'm going to change this. And now it's like, okay, there's no crowd. So you find a way to adapt and overcome. And I hope when a crowd does come back, because I do believe we'll get to that point, you know, sometime in 2021, that everyone appreciates them more and will be listening to them more and more in tune and not trying to do a bunch of flips like a bunch of marks. but seriously, tell a story.
I get it.
Tell a story. Make me want to see when you dive on someone, when you jump off a ladder or a cage or a scaffold, make me want to see that.
And this will be the last one for me because I've been guilty of keeping guests on longer than their time because I just have all these questions. Speaking of telling a story, Stu Bennett, Wade Barrett re-signed with WWE. How big of a loss is that going to be for NWA? Because I enjoyed the heck out of his work. And anyone would be lucky to have a guy like him, I think. Can you speak to anything about what that might mean for the future of the commentary team at NWA in the future or anywhere else?
Well, you know, obviously, Stu, Wade, huge asset to any company he works at, and that's in the ring, behind an announce desk, or doing whatever. It was again definitely a loss for NWA, but I also think the NWA has shown very, very, very much the ability to be in tune with what the audience wants. And you know, Stu was a very suitable replacement for someone else who had been associated with the NWA for 30 years. And, you know, I do believe that we will find an adequate, and, you know, I don't believe you can replace people, but an adequate person to sit in Stu's seat.
You mentioned marks before. I hear the biggest Aaron Stevens mark is Chuck Norris. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he took all those sayings about me and, you know, turned it into sayings about himself. And now the guy's an internet sensation. But, hey.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all good.
What a shame. Now, how many karate masters have you had to silence since you became a third degree?
Oddly enough, not very many. You know, again, if I was just And here's the thing, like, there have been a lot of people now, and because I was very much out of tune with pro wrestling, and now, you know, I try to be a little more, because I'm actually, you know, doing the booking for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which is something that's a, if you haven't checked that out, check your local CW affiliate. If you do not have a championship in your area, go to the Fight TV app. And you can see the episodes on there. Let me know what you think. I've been doing it for about 5 weeks now. And talent there is amazing. But, yeah, I think, again, going forward, it's just a matter of being in tune with who you are and just kind of making it as good for the audience as possible.
You mentioned Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Zicky Dice, who was a mainstay there, and then he really blossomed at the NWA, and now he's back in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and will be featured on tomorrow night's UWN show. How awesome was it to watch his rise in the NWA?
Yeah, you know, Ziggy was one of those guys to where and I didn't know him. I wasn't familiar with him. But then, like, the first time I saw him, I'm like, all right, I think I like you. And then when I talked to him, completely cool, really talented, and I wish him really all the success, and you know, that he wants to attain.
Any hints on who his mystery partner might be tomorrow night?
No idea. We'll have to wait and see.
You will have to wait and see. You have to go over to the Fight TV app, fight.tv, United Wrestling Network, Primetime Live, Episode 4, $8. If you're smart like Tony, which I can't say often, he signed up for the bundle package.
Yeah.
Best 24 bucks he ever spent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's more on the horizon, if you heard what Mr. Stevens had to say.
Oh, I can assure you that every week the show will be getting better and better and better. I mean, the old school Saturday night main event open.
Fantastic.
I mean, that was like, oh, wow. I was digging that.
Question. Kevin and I are both belt marks on the show, and we've argued on and off, back and forth, about the national championship. What are your thoughts on the belt itself? Do you dig it being the old school kind of retro thing? Is it kind of like past its prime? What do you think?
Okay, first of all, and I'm going to say this. Belts should be gold. The crap that some of the top companies have today, use your imagination. I mean, it's embarrassing. The heavyweight. Okay. So you have the NWA heavyweight title, which, you know, held by Nick Aldis, Sweet Charlotte. That is the NWA World Championship. Yeah. It is a gold belt. It looks pretty, right? The NWA tag title, same thing. The national title. Look, whether you like the design or not, I mean, to me, it's shaped like the greatest country in the world. So, you know, who doesn't like America? To carry it, look, it can be a little bit awkward, but I think for the purposes of NWA, and I mean, let's look, the TV title. Tell me that thing isn't beautiful to have.
Gorgeous.
Part of the NWA charm is the tradition. And I do think it's right in having traditional belts, because there's no mistake, and it looks like something that you won. Now, when I had that belt, if you noticed, it wasn't the front plate. It was the three stripes I put on the back, because as you know, I'm a third degree black belt, and I was the first ever third degree champion in professional wrestling history. And that's why the belt had the three stripes on the back, which matched my, black belt in Mongrovian karate. So it all kind of tied together. The best title belt of all time, if you guys are belt fans or whatever. Okay. The Winged Eagle, in my opinion, that is not up for debate. The old school Intercontinental Championship, the one that was, you know, held by Randy Savage, Shawn Michaels, later brought back by Cody Runnels, and then the old school tag belts with the big world written in the middle of the globe there. Those should be the belts, and they should, in my opinion, the Intercontinental belt today, I don't even know what it looks like or what it's supposed to look like. I saw that thing, and I'm like, is that a belt buckle or a brooch for something? Like, what? How do you even fold it? It's just... it's atrocious.
It looks absolutely atrocious. It looks like an awkward, weird sundial to me. Like, it just looks
I mean, whoever is coming up with these designs, let's chill out, not make the belts. I mean, and look, it's good to change the designs up for toys and everything like that, but like, come on, make me believe. I mean, I don't need some leather with some bedazzled studs on it. You know, like, let's, and look, for branding, it's great, but it's just, it's embarrassing. It, to me, it's really, really embarrassing.
I do kind of dig, and it was a long time coming, the new United States design that they have.
That's more, yeah.
It's got that more of like almost an NWA kind of throwback look to it, but a more modern twist.
Yes, I did see, and I agree with you on that. I am digging that one.
And I love that they left the color out of the background and just made it gold stuff.
Again, belts should be gold.
Yeah.
I do miss the old, and there's been tons of iconic United States Championship designs, but the one I do miss the most is the one pre like Nitro era. You know, it's the same design, but it had five plates instead of three. The one that Rick Rude always wore when he was the United States champion.
Okay, so yeah, not the one not the one that kind of looked like the Winged Eagle, the one that like Lex Luger had.
Wait, which belt?
The United States belt, the one that kind of looks like the IC belt that we all know and love, but it had five plates instead of three. The one that they used in like 98, 99 had like the two side plates. I'm talking about the one right before that with the four side.
It had like the red, white, and blue in the middle.
Yes. Yes. Above the Eagle's head.
To me, that's one of the, that one is my favorite United States title. And then the one that Luger held was kind of cool too, but like that one was the best. Yeah.
Yeah, that might have still been around the time where Nikita Koloff was champion.
Yeah, Chris Kanyon had that, I think, as far as in the Alliance, I remember.
Yeah, yes. Booker T came over with both belts and gave it to Kanyon.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, who better? Come on.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Kev, I'm surprised you didn't ask about the whole Mizdow thing since you're such a Miz fan. Come on.
I know. Well, this whole thing was sprung. I didn't know we were going to be joined by it.
No one, if y'all want to ask, go ahead, ask.
All right. So he said, I'm a big Miz guy. I loved the program with you guys.
Thank you.
Favorite reaction of all time was the Rumble. I forget what year it was because I'm getting older too. but the whole like, he coming down, taking your spot, and then you both like go out and do like the panel. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty sure I had this idea before they did.
Oh,
for you guys, I go back to the archives; it's there. What was that like for you in your career? And do you feel like it was cut too soon, or not given the legs it was entitled to?
No, I do feel in terms of the shelf life of that. It was perfectly planned out, you know, in my opinion, it was what they did with me afterwards, where it was like, okay, I've given you this now, you know, like we've had like two or three incarnations where you get over and then stuff happens. And then they, you know, oh, you're going to dress up someone new every week. Okay. That got over. And then, you know, it was a whole deal. And then it was like, you know, after that whole deal happened, it was, oh, this is great. Yeah, you're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. And then nothing. So, look, it's no different than when you get cast in a movie, except, you know, this is a movie that is episodic and it changes every week. And it can literally change if you sneeze in the hallway and the wrong person is behind you. And that's not an exaggeration, by the way. That your career can change. That didn't happen to me, but I know a case where something similar happened. And look, you know, you can't stress out over it. It's just, you know, at the time I wasn't the most happy person in the world.
Right.
But look, life goes on. And, you know, I've had great opportunities. Again, like I've almost been able to reinvent myself in life, which, you know, to me to go from like, okay, I'm going to go to Hollywood now. And then not have like, oh, I was an ex wrestler. Like, you know, guys like, Doug Batista has had that name and you could keep it. It was I was in a different boat. And so like, I, you know, shaved my beard off, cut my hair and everything. And, you know, started from the ground up, then did like three episodes of, you know, Midnight Texas on NBC, did, you know, Magnum PI, did some indie films with Jonathan Banks and stuff and Breaking Bad, and just kind of like working your way up from there, like gotten a union on my own. I've been able to do that. And I think as a result, I've had a much richer life experience. And, you know, I kind of just kowtowed and done, played the game, so to speak. I'm sure I'd have, you know, more zeros in my bank account, but, you know, number one, I'm not starving. Number two, again, like the totality of my life experiences, it's really been insane. And even like talking to other people in the business and stuff, like people I have met, people I meet, people that are currently in my life that are just, I don't want to say bizarre, but, you know, I don't want to write a book someday because number one, I would want to be truthful and not want to really like invade other people's privacy. But I have so many good stories, and it's funny because at this stage of the game, I honestly don't know what's next. You know, like I was called in for an audition right before COVID hit for a pretty big project to where I was like, oh, okay. And like, I thought that was going to be it. Let's say had I have gotten that part, and I was told I was fairly close to it. That was going to be, I really think, like a launching pad. But again, you know what? Rona happened. So you stay sharp, you stay crisp. I'm able to now. What's funny is like in doing the show from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, being a booker and being on this end of it, which is not something I ever wanted to be, I've gained a better perspective on my career. And, you know, when I saw things from a wrestler standpoint, maybe I should have saw things from an office standpoint. I should have reacted differently. I could have. And I mean, my whole deal is I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Like, give me nothing. I'll make something out of it. I'll get over. And then I'll prove myself to you. We go from there. Well, look, WWE doesn't work like that. At least it didn't for me. So you move on. But in the position I'm in now, I don't want to be like some of those WWE officials, not all of them. There's some very, very good people there. You know, Road Dogg is always nothing but honest with me. I mean, I think they let Mike Rotundo go. I mean, how dare you?
Yeah.
Like, let Mike Rotundo go. Arn Anderson, Dean, I mean, come on, really? But there's also some people who were not honest with me. And you know, like right below that first tier, people who enjoy kind of the perceived power they have. And how they talk to talent, how they are. And that's just not me. So, like, it's kind of cool in my position now where I'm able to really just kind of let talent know, like, hey, we're all on the same team. We're all on the same page. And I get to kind of it's, you know, not to quote Gandhi or sound too hippie-ish, but, like, be the change you wish to see. Doing that to me has kind of, like, it's been very therapeutic and cathartic in a way. And it's just been good. And I, like, 99% of the talent I've worked with has been absolutely phenomenal. So,
and I want to be positive and focus on everything that you have going on. And I promise this will be the last question from me.
No, go ahead. It's all good.
But, no, I'm apologizing to the other guys who probably have other stuff to do. I got nothing to do.
Well, I'm getting to plug my show. So
there you go. The initial run on the main roster with Casey James and Michelle McCool.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is something that always fascinated me. And I don't think maybe a lot of our listeners really know about.
You're alone in that one.
Yeah, no, I like the team. I enjoyed it because the tag team kind of scene was like, you had London and Kendrick, you had, you know, Deuce and Domino, who, whatever you want to say about the division, it was there. What was that like for you when you got pulled to this main roster, and now you were with like the teachers, you know, the sexy teacher type deal with them?
The thing is, we didn't know what we were supposed to be.
Right.
I mean, they told us we were teaming like the day of. I was in OVW doing a singles run, and Casey was doing his thing. And we were, you know, very casual friends, I guess. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're a team. And so we're like, all right, well, we're a tag team. And Casey's old school. You know, he had an old school mentality. So we match-wise, if you look at some of our matches with London and Kendrick, we did a pay-per-view, I believe, with London and Kendrick. Which to this day, I will say, you know, we weren't obviously the Road Warriors, but if you look at the match for what it was, where we were relatively kind of unknowns and there was zero thought put into us, match-wise, I put that tag match up against any tag match I've ever seen. And I'm not trying to sound arrogant because there was four people involved, but I was very, very happy with that. And London and Kendrick were great to work with, but again, it was zero help. The only one that was behind us and pushing for us is Dusty. Dusty was the reason, because Dusty just said he wanted to just get me on the roster, and Dusty liked Casey, so that was a way to do that. And you know, it was literally just, I mean, there was no direction. No one cared. No one gave a crap, and we made it work the best we could. But that was just at a time too when, you know, again, the working environment, it was just a, people were so concerned about how to bury other people than to help them.
Wow.
And that has hurt a lot of careers, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I'm tapped out. That's it for me. I got the
right on.
Yeah. We're talking with Aaron Stevens at Aaron Thoughts on Twitter, and he's talked about it so much tonight. CW.
The Aaron Files on Instagram, too. Let's see. I'm learning how to Instagram now, which I'm a private person. So,
yeah.
God, that's a challenge.
Yeah, it's. Twitter is where I peak. I can't do Instagram for my life.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, UWN's pay-per-view show on Fight.tv. D'Angelo, De Niro, and Watts take on Zicky Dyson and mystery partner. Brian Idol takes on Levi Shapiro. Max Caster takes on Chris Dickinson, which should be super exciting. Had an opportunity to work with a lot of these people on these UWN shows and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Who's a name we should watch out for?
Levi Shapiro. He's the sleeper. I hope the world sees how good he actually is. Obviously, Chris Dickinson, great, great talent. Max Caster, I get to work with Max just this past weekend. What a talented kid.
Yeah.
Talented kid. And others, too, like the Danny Limelights of the world, who he is doing the best work of his career, in my opinion. There's so many just great talent out there. And you're going to get to see them. You know, primetime live. So I would definitely check it out, buy the bundle. If you're a fan and you want to know what's next, if you want to see like, oh, I knew this guy when or wherever or girl when, check it out. It will not disappoint. I can guarantee you that.
Well, Aaron, this is not disappointed. We were so excited to have you last week.
Oh, thank you all for having me. Yeah.
Please, anytime you want to come back on and shoot the breeze or talk about
Tropical Pirates 2. Yeah.
Please, can we get a Tropical Pirates 2?
I'm down.
You know what? We're working on it. There's, you know, with the new COVID guidelines and everything, before we have a vaccine out, I don't know if we're going to start filming before a vaccine comes out or not, but I'll let you know we're in production.
That sounds awesome.
Aaron, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We appreciate your time. Anything you want to leave the fans with before we let you go?
No, again, just please check out Primetime Live. It's on every Tuesdays. You know, go to the United Wrestling Network. Check out all the information there. It's on DirecTV, Fight TV, and your local pay-per-view providers. Also, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on your local CW affiliate. If it is not on your local CW affiliate for whatever reason, go to the Fight TV app and just it's Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and have fun.
And don't quit the business. I want to see you and the Mongrovian Monster win some tag gold.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Aaron, this has been a blast, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Anytime you want to come back, brother, just let us know.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye.
Kevin, you got surprised there, huh?
Oh, big, big surprise pop.
Big thank to Todd from the United Wrestling Network.
Wait, I know you mentioned, was that in a text?
No, we were trying, and then right before Dickwad called in, Tony sent me a text, and he was like, Stevens just emailed us, and he's available. So I was like, we got to get him right away.
Yeah, so in trying to enlighten himself, speaking to Mr. Wright, he was doing some background work trying to line things up with Aaron. That was awesome, bro.
Unbelievable.
Now, are you happy that I set that up for you to talk about The Miz? Were you not going to go there? Because I was bro, you got to go there.
I didn't know what to do because I didn't know how long. First of all, I didn't know how long we had him for. I didn't know what we
could have kept going with him. We probably kept him on for like another hour.
Once he said that, then I was like, all right, I got to ask.
Kevin's like, all right, all bets are off now. Let's do this.
And I'm like, oh God! Well, like, what if we have him for 10 minutes and he's only here to talk about certain things? And I ask him about his tag team with Casey James that no one remembers other than me. It was that I wanted to get into the Miz Dow stuff 100%, but I just didn't know if I could or not. So, dude, he's such a nice guy. I met him
absolutely
at
and I didn't get to ask him specifically, but he put a tweet out shortly after the match with Trevor, where he was like, he was done. Now, I don't know if he's just playing that off, because I know like he's walked away a few times before.
Oh yeah.
He had one of his retirement matches at WrestlePro, didn't he, a few years ago?
Well, that's where I met him.
Yeah. And he was like, he was gone for a while, and he's a credit to the business. He's talented. And like he said, he's good at what he said wrestling should be, telling a story. Even when he won the damn title, hiding behind the Christmas trees in the studio, trying to pick up the sneaky win. That's good shit, dude. You don't see that anymore in wrestling, you know? He really is a treasure for the NWA. And the stuff that he comes up with the Tropical Pirates, with all the stuff with the question mark, like all the things that they were doing when Carnyland like hit after the pandemic started, all good shit, man. All good shit.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. I know we said we had a ton of stuff we want to talk about, but we don't want to go super long tonight. Impact was phenomenal this week. Kevin watched both shows. If you're not following us on Twitter, @WizardsPodcast is our handle. Kevin does a home run of a job. He fucking crushes it every Tuesday night. And then Saturday night they did Victory Road, and they are well on their way to Bound for Glory. Kevin, really quickly, anything from those shows you just want to point out?
And this is one of those shows, they're going to have the monthly specials or the time-to-time specials now. Listen, you knew going into Bound for Glory, nothing monumental, nothing truly epic. You weren't seeing a world title change. Like, you kind of knew that going in, but it had like that Saturday night's main event vibe where they kept the stories going for every feud that they had. Heath might be getting a contract. Brian Myers beat Dreamer, but now they're going to have a hardcore type deal on Impact this week. Eric Young and Eddie Edwards, great match, included Rich Swann. So you know that's where they're going. Overall, like the Rascals had a strong, like everything about Impact is firing, just like we said with NXT, firing on all cylinders. And it was a great show. And if we had more time, I would really, really dive into it deeply, just because it was so good. I enjoyed it. And a lot of good stuff. So Impact is, I'll watch it tomorrow. I'll be back on the Twitter live tweeting it tomorrow night. So I'm really excited about it.
Can I give you a quick this and that about AEW?
Like, please. Yes. That was my next note here.
If you've missed everything from last week, the one thing you need to check out is the opening match. Definitely Darby Allin and Ricky Starks. They had a fucking banger right out of the gate.
Oh,
great,
yeah.
Psychology, great storytelling. Darby Allin actually wins clean with the coffin drop. No shenanigans, no extracurricular bullshit. Just a straight up great match from two quickly rising, but Jesus Christ, these guys are stars already. So check that out. Being the Elite this week. John Silver is just a fucking star of that show. Just really is. He's starting to drop too many F-bombs for my liking. And there's also Being the Elite Championship now. We don't know what that's going to mean, but good stuff overall there. Still, fuck the Young Bucks, by the way. Thank you. And that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. Wow. Fuck the Young Bucks. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Jay White Okada from, I want to say, Night 5 of the G1. I know you hate Jay White, Tony, but this was really like...
Yeah, fuck Jay White.
This epitomized everything that Jay White stands for and what his character does. In the A block, Ibushi has 8 points. He's in the lead. Okada, Jay White, Will Ospreay, and Minoru Suzuki.
There you go.
And Taichi have 6 points. Ishii, Takagi, and Jeff Cobb have 4. Takahashi, Yujiro has 0.
Didn't Jeff Cobb beat Jay White?
Yes.
Fucking A, dude.
In the B block... Naito has 6 points. Juice has 6 points. Toriano has 6 points.
How the fuck does Yano have 6 points? How?
Stealing
wins. He's a terrible driver.
Is he just fucking tying people up?
He beat your boy Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes.
He pulled the ref into the path of a flying forearm, and then Yano hit a low blow and rolled up Tanahashi for a win. And Night 6, he beat Evil.
Evil. Fuck Evil.
And then he also beat Hold on, I have it right here. I'm sorry. Oh no, he got beat by Juice Robinson. My apologies.
Kevin's fucking cracking me up.
So Yano has 6 points. Zack Sabre Jr., Evil Kenta, Hiroshi Tanahashi have 4 points. Goto Yoshihashi, Sanada, who beat Naito.
Oh yeah,
has 2 points.
He has 2 points.
So the G1's rocking and rolling. Definitely check that out. Game Changer Wrestling has a huge weekend coming up. That's the collective. So if you are looking to do something this weekend, it's all on Fight TV. That is
Moxley versus Dickinson.
Yes, and Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. It also has Joey Janela against Ricky Morton, Alex Shelley against Tony Deppen. Ton of shit going on there.
And Deppen's in that Pure tournament, right?
Yeah. I think I don't want to spoil it for anyone because the show was tonight. So I've been watching the results come by on Twitter. James Storm said he was supposed to debut after WrestleMania, but COVID squashed that.
Oh, I don't believe that.
That's what he said. So, like James Storm.
I don't know if I believe that.
I wonder what they're doing with the tag belts, by the way, since James Storm is moving on.
Yeah, and so is Royce Isaacs, right? No, he's not.
Yeah, but
Royce
isn't a champion, though.
Joey Ryan's going to try and sue everyone because he's a real
sue everybody.
You mentioned Mikey Whipwreck earlier in the show. He noted that Tracy Smothers is not doing so great. So
keep Tracy Smothers in your prayers, everybody.
Please. And Glow has canceled the fourth season of, Netflix has canceled the fourth season of Glow.
What? Are you serious?
Because of COVID.
Are you British?
So that's it? Show's done?
Fuck. Yeah.
I doubt it's done. I doubt it's done for now. I believe it's done for now.
That's crazy, dude. It's one thing I've been looking forward to.
We've made the difficult decision not to go forth, not to do a fourth season of Glow due to the COVID, which makes shooting this physically intimate show with its large ensemble cast especially challenging. The report said that over the last several months, Netflix had been finding ways to put the show back into production, but the reason wouldn't have... The season wouldn't have premiered until early 2022, 2.5 years after the premiere of season 3. That plus
so what? They got to tie up the fucking stories.
For now, it is off the table.
Fuck, I love that show too, man. They canceled Mike Tyson's Mysteries on me. They canceled Glow on me. What the fuck is next, Kevin?
I don't know. They're out to get you, T-Donk.
Fuck.
I know what's next.
Oh, shit. I like where this is going.
I think it's time for Kevin's top five list.
Diggity dog. All right, let me ask you this, guys.
Uh-oh.
Do you want the list that we didn't do last week?
I want the easier one.
All right, we'll do the easier one then. The easier one, I think this is actually on my computer, so bear with me.
Oh, Jesus.
No, usually it's on my phone. No, all right. These are the top 10. That's right.
Oh, no.
Because I don't want to be the guy that said I thought about it and didn't include it. So we're going with the 10 spot.
You're changing the whole gimmick.
I know. I understand that. But
I can do the gimmick for our game next, too. You'll get a fucking kick out of it.
I guess I can just do the top five.
Yeah, do the top five.
All right, do the top five. But again, I want to include one in there that... All right. I'll just highlight it to make sure that I include it if you guess it. Top five. Known... iconic wrestler tattoos.
Iconic
wrestler like wrestlers tattoos. That have had tattoos that you think of and you know.
Not like a fan that has
a tattoo of a wrestler, but wrestlers that had tattoos that when you see you recognize.
Can I go first?
Sure, T-Donk.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar.
No. Brock is on the list, but he would be the one I would take out if I put in number 9. So, yes, Brock is on the list at number 5. Brock Lesnar's back tattoo, not his sword tattoo.
Not the sword tattoo. Okay, all right, the back tattoo, okay.
Because he had that longer.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, can I get Shawn Michaels, the heart with the dagger through it?
Matt, you sure can. Shawn Michaels, snake, little heart, little... sword with the gimmick is at number 2.
All right.
Now, Randy Orton's got sleeves now, but back in the day, he had a little bit of the tribal tattoos going on his arm. So I'll go Randy Orton.
No, you're wrong. No, none of these are tribal. They're all standalone.
None of them are tribal.
No, at least at the time they were standalone tattoos okay. that were pretty.
All right, I got an idea, but Matt, go ahead.
I'll go CM Punk's chest piece.
See, I would have said CM Punk's Pepsi tattoo.
And that's why I paused, because T-Donk got it right. All right, you know, we're going to talk. You guys are breezing through this, so we're doing all 10.
All right, let's do all 10.
That was number seven. That was number seven.
I will go for the Rock's Brahma Bull.
That is number four. All right.
Look at that. These guns are from fucking DDP Yoga right there.
I can't believe it. Matt.
Shit's off.
Can we get the bird that was on Demolition Smash's arm that clearly gave away that he was Repo Man, too?
I love where your head's at, but no. Didn't think of him. Didn't make the list.
How about Steve Austin's Texas tattoo?
Thought about it.
Oh!
But
and he didn't make.
No, I thought about it, but it's never a thing. It's never pictured. It's never anything.
Can I get Can I get Earthquake's tiger? He had a tiger. Yes.
Oh yeah, Matt, you can get it. That was number nine, but that was the one that I would want to put in my top five if I was putting these in order. So yeah, Earthquake, that tiger. Ruff,
Doesn't the Big Show have a tattoo of something on one of his arms?
It's also a tiger, I believe.
Is he on the list?
No, he's not.
No!
Because I gave it to the Quake Man.
All right, so can quick recap. Who do we have, Kev? Sorry.
You have Shawn Michaels at number two.
Okay.
You have The Rock at number four.
Okay.
You have Brock at number five. You have CM Punk at number seven. And you have Earthquake at number nine.
So we have six of them.
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever artwork Batista has going on around.
All right. Thought about Batista, and the only one that was eligible for the list was that stupid belly button, like sun that he had over the belly button. It was like a tramp stamp in reverse. But no, that did not make the list. I'll tell you this. I'll give you a hint for one. One is a new tattoo that is currently seen every week, just about.
Roman Reigns' tattoo?
God, stupid idiot.
Really? Really? I deserve that?
Yeah, you did. This tattoo made its return a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, whatever it was.
Is it the Kevin Owens bull tattoo that he has going on there?
No.
Jey Uso tattoo?
No. Come on, boys.
Is it Darby Allin's arm?
It is not Darby Allin's arm.
Because that's a sick tattoo.
You got the right program.
Returned Brian Cage?
The tattoo returned with the superstar over the last 2 weeks. I forget if it was this past week or the week before.
Cody Rhodes' neck tattoo?
Yeah, there you go. Cody Rhodes' neck tattoo rounds out the list at number 10. I'm not going to lie to you. I was hurting to find one, so I put that in at number 10.
And we're still missing number one.
I can't believe you're missing number one. You're missing number one.
Oh,
number
fucking
three.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
There you go. The head tattoo. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, fuck. So let's stick with head tattoos. One man gang.
Negative.
Fuck.
Luna Vachon.
No, close, but I can never tell. I can never tell if that was real or not, which is also why I didn't include Undertaker's Grim Reaper tattoo, because I wasn't sure if that was real or not, and I couldn't find a picture of it. I think it's real, but I couldn't put it on the list.
So there's no Undertaker on the list?
No Undertaker on the list. You are missing number three. You are missing number six and number eight.
Jesus, we're still missing three of them?
Number eight?
Any of them old school wrestlers?
Oh, they're all. Like old school, like what?
Like 80s, 70s?
No.
So
one, there you go. The set is dropping behind me. It was only a matter of time. One of them might not be an iconic tattoo, but the person that had it is like the first time you really kind of saw it on a performer.
Is it Ludwig Borga's fucking Nazi tattoo?
Oh, no. God damn.
I was thinking of the fucking Harris twins.
All right. You were on the right track with Luna. It's a female performer.
Lita?
Yeah, Lita.
Oh, fuck yeah. She's got a good tattoo. What number is she?
She's eight.
Wow.
Because I have no idea what it was, but it was just
like a green Mexican kind of like mask, wasn't it?
Wow. All right.
She spent a lot of time in Mexico. That's where she trained.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I just remember being like blown away by seeing it.
I thought it was like some sort of like green Mayan mask or some shit. I don't know.
Could be, because her it wouldn't make sense with her luchador.
Are Mayans even Mexican? I thought they were Peruvian. I don't know. I don't know either.
All right, so you're missing three and you're missing six.
China's weird tattoo?
No, no China. Okay. No more ladies on the list.
I was going to say, who's got a weird tramp stamp that we're missing? Fuck.
I think I could see you guys not getting, but the other I think is tough just because it was made into like merch and it was like a symbol for
Rey Mysterio?
No, thought about Rey Mysterio. The Mexican across his chest.
Made into merch. That
Matt's Googling, huh? Matt, you Googling?
No, I'm not Googling anything. My hands.
Oh, I wouldn't blame you at all. I was 10 strong.
The thing is that we're missing number three, right?
Yeah, you're missing three and you're missing six.
So three has to be something that is like, oh my God.
I think it will be, but not to the extent that it wouldn't be like missing Bam Bam. Let's put it that way. But it's like missing a big one, I think.
I got help from the Discord. AJ's tattoo on his side.
Good guess. No.
That's a great guess.
Umanga, Samoa.
No.
Fuck. Really?
Who's guessing in the Discord?
Blah 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 blah. Yeah. Let me go back to it.
All right. Should we put a time limit on it? Should I just tell you? Or should I give you hints? Or do you guys want to keep going guessing? Because you know me, I got no time limit.
Give us another minute.
All right, take your time, boys. I'm here all night.
We did Goldberg already, right?
No.
Goldberg.
You did not do Goldberg. And Goldberg is number three.
Good one.
There you go. Because it was fucking, it was like, all right, what? Somebody's shit was merchandised. I remember that. Fuck.
All right, so number six is what we're looking for.
And number six, as Tony would say, is old school.
WWF or WCW?
I mean, he wrestled in both, but I would say WWF. I don't know. Maybe this might be a reach at six, but I remember it as one of like the first tattoos I've ever seen in wrestling. And this might not be real either, for all I know, but I think it is.
Hakushi?
No.
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess.
All right. WWF, WCW.
Does Triple H have a tattoo? No, right? No.
Not one that you'd care about if he does.
WWF, WCW. Thinking. Perry Saturn?
No, good guesses. But he had a lot of them, so you couldn't really tell. These are like standalone. It was like really the only thing you saw when you saw that guy. All other right. than...
WWF, WCW.
And of course, Bam Bam's the exception because he had tattoos everywhere, but right. The head was just.
Oh, we're missing somebody, and it's going to drive us fucking nuts when we find out who it is, isn't it?
I don't think it'll drive you nuts, but I think you'll be like, all right. I'm very impressed with what you guys have accomplished, by the way.
Naked Midian.
No.
Adam Bomb.
No, that's a good one, though. I thought about Adam Bomb.
Animal
again, but that wasn't real though. I don't think, because he didn't show up with that as Wrath in WCW.
I thought Bruce Prichard said he got it for real, and then he had it taken off when he left.
Maybe
the only other person I could think of is the Godfather, Papa Shango.
No,
what about either of the Road Warriors?
No,
I don't think they were tatted. Wait, Rick Rude didn't have a tattoo, did he?
He did.
It was Rick Rude. It was fucking Rick Rude.
He had the anchor.
The God anchor tattoo of Rick Rude.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Great pull, T-Donk. Great pull.
Fucking yanked that one out of my fucking asshole.
How about that list, boys?
That was great, Kevin. That was great.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't leave anyone off. I don't think.
That was a good list, though. That was a good list. And now, since we're running out of time... It's time for everybody's favorite game show. No offense, Kevin. Can you beat that?
All right.
All right. Are you hosting, Tony, I'm guessing?
Yes, but now listen, I got an idea that might help move this along.
I got an idea. All right.
Listen, we do one question. I'll tell you how many answers the question has, and we do a back and forth. We decide who goes first.
Okay.
First person to make the mistake
loses.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. The question is, actually, let me get the music up a little bit. This will be a little interesting. Da, da, da.
Let me pull up the old notes.
Where's the fucking, here's the music.
Oh, I don't have to pull up notes because we're not, you don't have to think of like six.
This is a match that we've talked about numerous times on the show.
Punjabi prison match.
For very auspicious reasons. This question is called the Royalist Rumble.
Oh, baby. Right in my wheelhouse.
Royal Rumble 1992 is considered by many wrestling pundits, to be the greatest Royal Rumble of all time. 30 participants. There's no need to ask, can you beat that? We just need to decide who's going to go first.
What's the question? Name them all?
Who won? Name all 30 participants in the 1992 Royal Rumble.
Who won last?
You won 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, so you have.
Yeah, I lost. I definitely did not win.
Okay, so I'll defer to Kevin.
Okay.
All right. How about we start? Okay, go ahead.
Let me just get some background music going. Wait. Okay. Now there's 30 answers here, so you're gonna have to give me time once you start giving me the answers to find them on the list.
Yeah, and I gotta write them down too.
About them too.
Oh yeah, hold on. I gotta write them down to see.
I'll give you a recap anytime you want. You just got to let me know.
Okay, no problem.
And you got to give me a chance to look them up as I'm going along, too, because they're on two pages. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just rip the pages off. Okay.
All right.
I will start with entrant number one, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
That's one. Matt, you're up.
I'm going to say Ric Flair. Just get the easy ones out of the way.
Ric Flair is number two. Kevin, you're up.
I will go with entrant number two. Or maybe they were a flip-flop, but the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith.
They were a flip-flop, but the Bulldog is on the list number three. Go ahead, Matt.
I'll go with Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan is up there. Number four. That's four down.
Like Matt said, that's a good strategy. Get the easy ones out of the way. The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Randy Savage, that makes five. Matt, you're up.
Sid.
Sid, six. Kevin.
I will go with. Oh my God. Oh my God. Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter, that makes seven. Matt, you're up.
The Undertaker.
Undertaker, eight. Kevin, you're up.
Jake Roberts.
Jake Roberts, nine. Matt, you're up.
Roddy Piper.
The Rowdy one himself, that makes 10. You guys want to recap or you want to keep going?
I'll keep going.
Yeah, I'm good. I got my list in front of me.
El Matador, Tito Santana.
The uncrowned world champion, number 11.
Your ass hurts. Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels makes 12. Kevin, you're up.
I will go. Virgil.
Virgil is on the list. What are we at, 13? Yes, that was number 13. Matt, you're up.
I'll take number 30, the Warlord. And I don't know why I remember that.
And that's when the Warlord comes in. That's 14. We're almost halfway there, Kev.
Rick Martel.
Rick Martel, 15. We're halfway there. Cat's butthole in the prowl.
Always. The Berserker.
Berserker. 16. 14 to go, boys.
Haku.
Haku. 17.
Everyone's favorite grandfather, Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Greg Valentine, 18.
Oh, boy.
Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man, 19.
Skinner,
20.
He's there.
Here we go.
Did we say Hacksaw Jim Duggan yet?
Is that your answer? We did not.
I'm saying Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
You would be correct. 21.
Oh, I have the best one for the back pocket, baby.
Can I get a Hercules?
You can get a Hercules. 22.
Let's go with the one-foot wonder, Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich.
Yes, 23. I didn't mean to pause that long. I had to check to see if he was Kerry Von Erich or Texas Tornado.
If we have a Haku, we have to have a Barbarian.
We have a Barbarian. 6 to go.
How about the tax man, IRS Erwin R. Scheister?
5 to go.
Also, no, wait, is this timed out where it's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe, where if Matt gets the last one, I lose?
No, because we both answered.
If you guys get all 30, then it's over.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It's an even Steven. Right. Jerry Sags.
Jerry Sags is up there.
I am, by the way, I am floored that Matt got that. Because I don't believe Brian Knobbs is in this Royal Rumble.
I don't think he was either.
Doesn't so, matter. Four people left.
Let's go. Superfly Jimmy Snooksca.
Matt, there are 3 people left.
Let me just check my list here. Because I mentioned him in the tattoo conversation. Repo Man.
Kevin, there are 2 people left.
Well, the one that I was saving, and I'm glad that I'm not the last one, is the big 300-pound Lithuanian Nikolai Volkov.
Matt, we have answered 29 correctly. Who is the last person?
Nikolai Volkov's former tag team partner, going under the alias of Colonel Mustafa.
You fuckers nailed it. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
There's a good reason call. Why it took me 18 years to touch a vagina.
That was fucking nuts. I didn't know how that was going to go. I figured if anybody would have had a chance, it would have been the two of you. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that would have been an easy question if it was a solo question? Like, what would you guys
name all 30?
Well, clearly we both got. Yeah, so. I
but
think
I mean,
it would have been
there anything that Matt said that you might not have gotten, or Matt, was there anything Kevin said you might not have gotten?
The only reason why Matt probably would have won is because on the spot, I'm terrible. So like I may have not have thought of one that I knew. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I could tell you all 30 if I had to.
I think I would have tanked on Snuka, to be honest with you.
I probably would have tanked on Colonel Mustafa. But Nikolai Volkov was the one that I had in my back pocket.
Those last ones were some deep cuts, man. And yeah. I'm very good. That Jerry Sags was in there, but Brian Knobbs was not. That was
because I always found that peculiar. And I know Nikolai Volkov was a replacement for somebody.
Was he hurt? Maybe he was hurt for this?
No. Who?
Brian Knobbs.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, I don't remember a point where the two of them weren't together until much later in WCW when Brian Knobbs was on his own because Jerry Sags was out.
I don't remember why Brian Knobbs wasn't in this. But I also don't, which is so weird. And I'm a Royal Rumble like savant. I don't remember Jerry Sags in Rumble 91. I remember, and Brian Knobbs was in the last 3 with Earthquake and Hogan.
Completely possible. So, what do you guys think of the short form? Do you like that? I mean, every once in a while, maybe.
It's a lot more pressure. And if I don't have a pen on me, I gotta like literally type.
I mean, it's not officially can you beat that, but I think it's a nice little diversion, a little back and forth.
I like it. I like it, T Donk. And I always thought that can you beat that, like it's gonna run its course eventually.
But I don't know about that.
No, I'm just saying like a trivia contest won't, but that format might.
And if you guys that are listening out there and you want to submit your own questions, please vet them as well as you can. Do your research, but send them over to cybt@shiningwizards.com. I'll be happy to take a look at them. We actually had a few submissions, one of which is in the queue. So maybe we have that competition next week for 502.
And the TL Hopper?
That's right. And nobody will look at the questions until we decide who's playing every week. So feel free to send them, and we will wind up using them if we like them. So
now, you mentioned next week 502. Kate sent a video on Twitter. I haven't watched it. I haven't heard it. Do you even want to entertain?
Nope.
Nah, not really. Okay. You didn't watch Kate's video?
No. She sent it while we were doing the show.
No,
you can't play it and listen to it. Now, on the flip side.
You guys do what you want, man. That's your call. I'll do whatever.
Let's see what she has to say. Because, Kevin, this showdown is the talk of the wrestling world. Just so
no, it's really not. It's silly to say, but whatever.
All right, let's see what Kate has to say here.
Glad you're having fun, Kate.
Let's just pull this up here.
It's all that matters, right? It's all about fun.
Yeah, sure. We don't want to end the show early.
I thought it was going to go a lot later.
Hey, guys. I hope you're having an amazing Monday. I just wanted to come on here and let all of my fans know that, unfortunately, tonight I won't be appearing on the Shining Wizards podcast. Personally, I just think it was probably kind of inappropriate of me to come on tonight and grace them with my presence when they disrespected the champion the way that they did at episode 500, and how they basically used me to promote it and then kicked me off the main event and pretended they ran out of time because Kevin was too scared to face me, so he needed his cronies to cover for him. But I don't really want to get into that about how the Shining Wizards are the biggest liars of podcasting and that cool guests don't make up for integrity. But I did want to show you guys my new tattoo. It's of all the times that Kevin beat me at Can You Beat That. It's super fresh. Still has the Saran wrap on it. Didn't hurt. It doesn't really itch at all. I don't know if you guys can see it, but an ink stroke for every victory he has over me. So anyway, tune in tonight, especially on the hot mic. It's a great time. Bye.
Wow, Kate coming in hot.
Look out, Hank Mancini. Here comes Eenie Meenie. I don't
now,
care.
Kevin, I got something for you, buddy.
Oh, boy.
You don't believe,
end, is it?
You don't believe that this is the talk of the wrestling world.
No. Who else did she pay for a cameo?
Right on, baby, Kevin. Big Kev, it's old Mentor. I got some news. I got the scoop. I heard what's going down. You got a big challenge coming on. Coming up soon, down a week, and maybe tomorrow, maybe down next week, 3 weeks from now. I don't know. I don't know the date, man. I just know that you got a challenge coming up. You taking on Kate. And Kate was talking all this trash. She was saying she was going to whoop your ass and that you don't know shit about drinking Bud Lights, drinking all them beers. So I'm on here to give you some motivation, give you a little Warner's wisdom, a little old Mentor talking you up, baby. And this is what you got to do, man. You got to train every single day. You got to wake up early. Not too early, around like noon or something. And then you got to go out. You got to pick some fights with people. After you hopefully whoop somebody's ass, then you're ready to go, man. Then you got to go back home. You got to start day drinking, man. I'm talking about Bud Lights all day long. And then right there, you've been training. Mm-hmm. You've been training, man. You're ready to rock and roll. And then when Kate's talking all that shit in the challenge, you can beat her, man. You can hit the pay window. You got to get the W, man. Old Mentor believes in you. You got to get on up. You got to climb that ladder. You got to get them light beers. And you can't get beat in this challenge, man. If you get beat, Kate says she's going to talk shit about you every single day, all over town, in front of everybody that you know. Every person you go and see is going to shit talk you, man. You cannot lose. So once again, Old Mentor, I just hope you win. You got the motivation from Old Mentor. Get them light beers. Hit the road. Now, I'm kidding. Don't hit the road. Don't drink and drive. But you know what I'm talking about, baby. Get out there and you got to win this challenge. You
very smart, man. Beers.
You got to take all the wisdom the old Mentor gave you, and you got to hit the pay window. Old Mentor loves y'all.
Wow, Mance Warner.
Wow.
Huh?
That is right. Pretty remarkable. The old Mancer. The Mancer's on Team Kevin.
Well, cameo's a great thing, isn't it?
The old Mentor hit the pay window on that one.
Now.
Who got this? Matt, you got this,
unfortunately,
right?
Unfortunately, Kate, she has somebody on her side. We have to hear from them now.
It's fucking equal opportunity, fucking political posts. Not even opportunity,
Kate,
but equal.
It's Warhorse, and I heard through the grapevine that you're defending the Can You Beat That championship. Well, I don't think that's the real question. I think the real question is, can you beat that ass for the championship? Because Kevin ain't got a damn chance whenever it comes to stepping into that squared circle with you, Kate. What you're going to do? See, what you're going to need to do, you're going to need to get your good ass-kicking boots on. You need to polish them up nice nice and shiny, you know, get him ready to roll some ass in. You're gonna take him, drop him on his head, pick him up, body slam him back on his head. Then you're gonna climb to the top rope, ascend to the heavens, jump, and hit him with a big, bad, bitchin' elbow drop, just like Warhorse, you know, yours truly. Anyways, that's about all the advice I got for you. You know, that's usually what I do. That's my game plan every time I go into the match. So, defend that championship, make Warhorse proud, and remember, Kate, keep rolling ass!
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. This is a thing now, huh?
Warhorse.
Warhorse.
Kevin's doing his best Orange Cassidy impression right now.
Wow.
Zero fucks given, Kevin Garifo.
Wow. All right. Well, next week, the showdown in Tinseltown is happening here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
I think the Yankees are playing that night, too, so I might bow out.
Okay. They're playing. Excuse me. I think they're playing right now, too.
They are playing right now. There's two football games on right now. No, whatever.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in to episode 501 of The Shining Wizards. We want to thank our guest, Mr. Francis Wright, doing God's work, by the way.
No, we don't.
Aaron Stevens for joining us tonight.
Yes.
Aaron Stevens, 1,000%, but not the fucking, come on, man.
Dude, I marked out, popped so hard for Aaron Stevens. Unbelievable.
Congratulations. You are the new NWA national champion. How does it feel?
Really?
I'm a little bit lost for words.
How dare you?
I know I probably should have been prepared with some sort of statement. The only thing I can think of is I want to thank my wife and kids, Amanda, Trevor, Paul, Elise, Cade. Thank you. Thanks for putting up with my shit. And
fantastic.
I won. I'm an NWA World Champion. I did it. Did it. I'm going home.
The new NWA National Champion.
He's going home. He did it and he's going home.
He's going home.
Speaking of going home, aren't we done with this episode
We're
yet?
Done. You know what I want to do next week, guys?
And oh, yeah.
It's not a crazy week. 30 Years of Jericho is happening tomorrow or Wednesday night.
Ooh.
I would like to talk some Jericho next week. 30 years is a long time. I got a lot of Jericho memories. I'm sure you guys do, too. Maybe we could rustle some of those memories up and have some Jericho conversations next week.
Oh, love Jericho. Great guest. Two-time guest.
Yeah, do you think friend of the show Chris Jericho might want to make it a three-time guest?
Maybe.
It's worth the ask.
Oh, yeah. I think it's happening. Lock it up. Next week, Chris Jericho.
We won't have to go through a publicist or anything.
No. There's another. There's somebody else who I also reached out to who is a champion in a major company that we don't have to go through a PR guy for. So I'm waiting for him to get back to us. So that's a possibility for next week, too, boys.
That sounds awesome.
Well, this episode was awesome. This night was amazing. We didn't talk as much wrestling as we thought we would, but we had a surprise appearance by Aaron Stevens. And I guess, I don't know. Do we have to plug Francis Wright? Yeah, that's
your
how I feel.
Cat, your cat, too.
That's how I feel about Francis Wright right there. Fucking cat butthole, buddy. We'll be back next week. I'll be back Wednesday night with our AEW Dynamite post show. Check us out in the Discord. Pro Wrestling Tees is doing their fall sale starting on Wednesday. So if you buy some Shining Wizards gear, prowrestlingtees.com/wizardspodcast. No, I'm sorry, Shining Wizards. prowrestlingtees.com/Shining Wizards. You throw in the name fall as a promo code, you save 20%. So you can get a couple new Shining Wizards t-shirts if you like. Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. At Wizards Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Give us a follow. Chat us up. Of course, the Discord, the link is always on our Twitter. So just join our Discord. Chat us up. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Chugging that twisted tea may have been a mistake.
I hate you.
Diarrhea for Kevin. 36 hours, brother.
Bloomin' onion.